elect one of its members to chair the meeting as an acting chair. Can I, by show of hands, nominate Dr. Fierce, Ms. Chatter?
Thank you, Secretary. I nominate Honorable Ndlambe to be the acting chair of the acting committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Chatter. Honorable Ndlambe has been nominated. Any second, Honorable Mr. Qhasa.
Thank you. I second the nomination of Honorable Ndlambe to chair this session. Thank you.
Thank you, Tata. Any further nominations? With that, therefore, Ms. Ndlambe, you have been elected as the acting chairperson of the day. Can you take your seat, ma'am? Good morning, honorable members, officials from the department, and our support staff, and thanks for the opportunity for chairing this meeting this morning. What members don't know and others is that there's always a lady here wrapped in black, so I don't know if this goes by also. This is also for the set, so I can read them. Okay. Members, I think it will be proper to welcome you today to this session. And I must indicate that there will be no political overview. Instead, let me indicate that the item that we're meeting with here today has been an item that was deferred from September. All of us has had the opportunity then to receive packages. I saw also the support staff reminding us that even if they are circulating the documents, these are the same documents that were circulated in September. And that makes our work very much easy this morning. Do we have apologies?
Thank you, Chair. We've got apologies from the minister. She's out of the country. Also, an apology from the both deputy ministers. MD Dlamini is still under the supervision of the doctor, and MD Skwacha is attending SPCHG, a joint cabinet committee. Another one, Chair, is from DG Mlengane. He is out of sick, I think. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, ma'am. May Honorable Tembeka, I forgot to say name, Bambam.
I'd just like to say that Honorable Masipa is running a bit late. He's got a domestic problem.
Thanks, ma'am. Honorable Mahlo is also in the strategy meeting. He's one of the people that are reading follow-up questions. He'll be joining us. Are those the only apologies? Okay. Now, having said that, honorable members, let me hand over to the department to deal with the progress report on AgriParks.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. We have a presentation, as the Chair has mentioned. Mr. Clinton Anaman is going to be leading the presentation, and Dr. Swartz will also be adding on the presentation. Unfortunately, he is stuck downstairs with security, but in the meantime, Clinton will go ahead. He's the Chief Director of Rural Infrastructure Development in the department.
Good
as they are preparing, honorable members can realize that this is a presentation for 9 provinces. Okay. So do we take all of them, 9 of them, and we'll discuss at the end? Is that a yes? Perfect. Perfect. So we'll go through all the 9 provinces, then we'll discuss at the end. Thanks.
Chairperson and committee members, thank you very much. Good morning. The presentation that is on the board was, as you can see, is dated 3rd of September. That's the day it should have been presented. And this presentation talks specifically to the AgriParks and the principles of the AgriParks. Dr. Swartz will present the other part on the farmer production support units. All right, so in terms of the AgriParks program, it emanates or finds itself coming strongly through in the 9-point plan. It was around resolving the energy challenge, and item number 2, the revitalization of the agriculture and agro-processing value chain, RAABC. The AgriParks program really spoke to driving that agenda item in terms of that 9-point plan. I'm not going to go through all the other items there. I'm just giving you some context on where the AgriParks program found itself emanating from in 2015. The definition of an agri-park, and I think theoretically the definition has been well researched throughout the world. We've looked at a number of countries. We work with the World Bank, we work with the CSIR, we work with the Department of Agriculture, we work with the ARC, we work with the Provincial Department of Agriculture in defining and working on a agri-park's definition. The AgriPark comprises 3 distinct but interrelated components. The first and the closest level of the AgriPark is the Farmer Production Support Unit, and referred to in the presentation as FPSU. It's a rural smallholder farmer outreach and capacity building unit. The FPSU provides primary production inputs, mechanization support, extension services, storage facilities, and training to producers. It is, in essence, the closest level of support to a farmer. And I think this will come strong throughly, come through strongly in the presentation that will follow with Dr. Swartz. Then the next level up would be an agri-hub. An agri-hub is where these farmer support units bring their production to for further processing, packaging, and logistic distribution. The next level up, and this is an area that is very, very important to the farmer, is the Rural Urban Market Center, which has 3 main purposes. It links the contractual rural, urban, and international markets through contracts. It acts as a holding facility to release produce into urban markets based on seasonal trends, and it provides market intelligence and information feedback to the agri-hub, where the processing takes place, and to the farmer production support unit, where the production support happens. Therefore, an agri-park is a network innovation system of agro-production, processing, logistics, marketing, training, and extension services located in a district, municipality. As a network, it enables a market-driven combination and integration of various agricultural activities and rural transformation services. I think the key words here are network innovation system. We were really trying since 2015 to change the way that smallholder farmers, black farmers, look at getting more market share, ensuring that the produce that they produce gets to the market, that we cut out all the middlemen, that we really strengthen the smallholder farmer, the black farmer, and get more market share for everyone. On the screen in your packs, you'll now have a static representation of an agri-park model. The Agri Park, as you can see there, is a catchment area. And for the purposes in South Africa, the catchment area of an Agri Park was a district municipal boundary. So there are 44 districts in the country. Therefore, in 2015-16, the idea was that every single district municipality would have an Agri Park, somewhere where farmers can network, can organize, can innovate, and reach the market in the most effective manner possible, building a black-owned value chain for agricultural products. The Agri Hub would be the center in that district, in that catchment area. And this is where the logistics and the processing would happen. And every Agri Hub would then be connected to farmer support units in the farming areas. And all that produce would then be collected in these farming areas, brought to the processing facility, either processed further or moved to a bigger market. And I mean, there are only a few bigger markets in the country. You'd probably talk about Johannesburg, you'd talk about Ekurhuleni, you'd talk about Cape Town, and maybe East London and Bloemfontein at some stage. But the markets really are those big markets. Then on the static diagram, then you will see that the green linkages that you see on your diagram are the linkages between the Agri Hub and the farmer support units, and the pink lines or red lines are the linkages between the farmer support unit and the farmers in their catchment areas. There's also that urban linkage, which is the depicted as the turquoise line on the diagram, which shows the interconnectivity between rural and urban. Urban spaces cannot operate in isolation of the bigger urban markets and international markets. So if we just unpack that model, starting again at the unit of the model that is closest to the farmer, we talk about the Farmer Production Support Unit, the FPSU. This is where agricultural extension support happens. So what you would typically find is that you have extension officers working in agriculture, very decentralized from a district office. The aim is to get the extension officers closer to the farmer, to give them office space, to give them working space, and so that their services are more available. Then the mechanization center and workshops. I think if you look at value for money, if you look at productivity, if you look at mechanization in general, you're going to see that it becomes unviable to give every single farmer a tractor, every single farmer a disc plower, every single farmer a harvester. So the concept then says that at an FPSU you would have a mechanization center, which will provide the implements and machinery needed for farming in a specific catchment area, and the workshops to fix that machinery, including the necessary diesel, etc. It just makes logistically more sense, not only in South Africa, everywhere in the world, to look at these support centers in that manner. Then we've got produce sorting facilities, storage facilities, a local packhouse, a small-scale processing facility for local markets, a local market and auction facility, and possibly any aquaculture or agritourism facilities. And the idea is that, and internationally the trend is that you start seeing where you have an agglomeration of facilities taking place, you are able then to link tourism in that area. It could be very small scale, it could be a tourism office, but it provides a center where agritourism is then promoted in the region. So farmer production support center, I'm not going to go through this list. It basically, it's non-exhaustive. It talks then, as I've explained, about extension support services, holding of hands, it talks about logistics support, primary production, weighing of produce and stock, auction facilities, I'm just picking up a few, small business development and training, banking, a fuel sensors. Then you, the next part is an agri hub, the agri hub itself. Now, farmer support units, as I explained, feed into the hub where the processing takes place, logistics. And typically here you'll have a production zone. So in the agri hub you could also have tunnels that grow produce. You could have, for instance, in the West Rand, we have disabled ladies that have tunnels growing vegetables right in the facility, in the fence. The reality of agriculture is that you can do more high-tech agriculture. You go vertical tunnels and you look at growing things in very small spaces. Hydroponics, all that kind of growing can happen within these agricultural zones. You want to look at research in this area, you want an innovation zone, you want the logistics zone, again the aquaculture. But most importantly is to try and find relationships that are synergistic. And what we mean by this is that one processing facility's output is the input to another facility. It saves money. Makes it more cost effective. It sometimes does require the technology that you're using then is important. So if you look at we went to the Netherlands, and an example would be they have big warehouses that grow green peppers, but they can only grow the green peppers in summer because in winter months it's too cold. So they have 10 hectares of green peppers growing. One day the owner of this facility, he realized that his computer at his desk was producing a lot of heat. So what he then did is he sold a piece of land adjacent to his property to Microsoft, and Microsoft built a huge a data center there, and they use all the hot air that comes out of the server rooms and pump it into the greenhouse, which then provides the energy or the heat in winter. So now he has all-round production capabilities. So these are the kind of synergetic relationships. In some cases, they capture the carbon monoxide gas and they pump that into greenhouses because it helps with the growing of the produce. All right, then the agri-hub facilities. We have, at the agri-hub, we can have retail facilities, administrative facilities, machinery, packaging, quality control. Quality control is very important in these areas. If you want to access any markets, you need to have quality produce, you need to have safe produce, you need to look at food security. Trading centers are important. They're at a district level. This kind of aligns very nicely to the idea that we have district management areas. There's research, there's student staffing, logistics, silos, abattoirs, and it all depends, and I think this is very important, is that your agri-park, which consists of your farmer support unit and your agri-hub, would have a very specific type of commodity. In some places you may have different commodities, but in others you will just have maize, for instance. In others you'll have red meat, a bit of maize, and a bit of vegetables. So you would mix and match a hub to suit the kind of commodities that you have. The agri-hub, I'm not going to go through the clarification of terms, only to say that, you know, enterprise development areas should be in there, soil testing laboratories, there'll need to be accommodation and housing, and it really becomes a catalyst around which a district can start looking at providing good and quality services. The thing about the agri-hub, though, that becomes very important for investors is that they need good access, road access, they need good energy supply, they need good water supply. If any of those areas fail, then obviously it creates a problem for their business model. Then, the final one is the rural urban market center. Now, this is probably received at this stage the least attention in terms of the AgriParks program, and The idea is that currently all the produce is being sold to the market that is coming out of the program as it comes from the farmer support units, but it goes through the conventional market, through City Deep, etc., etc. Still, the markets, these markets provide the best way to get a fair price for produce. So basically the rural urban market centers wouldn't be established in every district. These would be established in nationally at key locations once the agri-park system has enough produce that it can put together to sell to the market. At this stage, it's a little bit of produce that is being sold to the market from the sites, from the farmers, as the network starts to function on all the possible levels and grow. The rural urban market center, typically here, you'd have a team that looks at market intelligence, that assists the farmers with contracts, that looks at warehousing, large-scale warehousing and cold storage for market management. It's important that you be able to store produce for a certain period. Maize is a good example, but you can store a number of things. Potatoes can be frozen these days and kept for a long time under certain conditions and sold to the market when the prices are best for it. Logistics and transport, and then also provide agri-park inputs and share market information. Then the agri-hubs, how did we come up with the sites? And how did, when I say we, I'm talking about government as a whole. It wasn't just the Department of Rural Development at that stage, it was agriculture, it was the provinces, it was the premiers. Everybody put in their contribution on where these hubs should be. So firstly, we looked at the land capability with the Department of Agriculture and the various commodities. Then we looked at the 44 districts and the 27 priority districts. Then we looked at the functional regions in the country, which areas are growing and which areas are declining. It's very important that you put your money into areas that are growing or have the potential to grow, because if you put your money into areas that are in decline, you tend to obviously lose the opportunity or the value of that money. The next thing is then we looked at the Agricultural Policy Action Plan. We did a commodity analysis per local municipality. We looked at what commodities are growing where. We then proposed various agri-park sites per district. So the agri-park, when I say a site, in every district there would be a hub and two farmer production support units that were proposed. This then went out by, in writing, we had workshops, we had MINTEC, we had MINMEC, joint MINMEC with agriculture, and these sites were then discussed and then tabled back to the department by the Department of Agriculture and the premiers in all instances when this was done in 2015. And then the map that you currently have in front of you, it says the Agri-Park Network. It basically shows where all the agri-hubs are in every district and their catchment areas, showing a green area and a lighter green area. That is just the dark green area are distances away from the center of the agri-hub to be able to show graphically how the network almost covers the entire country and in some cases they overlap to a large degree. And the areas where they overlap, you'll also find very often that there's a large degree of production in those areas and especially when you start looking at the vegetable production, etc., etc. And you'll see then in the Northern Cape where the area becomes very, where the population density becomes very low, and the type of commodities is sheep and cattle farming. The farms become very big, so the spread becomes far less dense of the agri-park network. From the network then, we did a 3D modeling exercise. We as a department with agriculture and all the other sector departments, try to create a view of what an agri-park essentially could look like in an ideal situation. And I think it's always good to dream about what the ideal situation could be like, but you have to work with the constraints that are on the ground. Keeping your eye open for various opportunities that are available. Typically here you will see that there's silos, there's storage facilities, there's office blocks, there's some agriculture happening. So this model was is a physical model that was built, and there are a number of computer-generated models that have been developed and disseminated over the last 4 years at every single opportunity that we have. We've even presented it at budget vote yearly to show, display the models, to show, display the concept, and as we do training throughout the country, visiting the district municipalities. The guiding principles then of the AgriPark program, one was that there be an AgriPark per district. The AgriParks ultimately, and over 10 years, should be farmer controlled. AgriParks must be a catalyst around which rural industrialization starts taking place. It is that boost for the economy where you've got secure road, water, energy, where you have a controlled space run by a district municipality and the farmers, that gives you that opportunity to create that industrialization in the agricultural sector. AgriParks must be supported by government for 10 years to ensure economic sustainability. And then strengthen partnerships between government, the private sector stakeholders to ensure increased access to services, water, transport, energy, and production on the land while developing and creating new markets and extending and expanding the value chain in line with agricultural policy action plans. Then maximize the benefits to state land with agricultural potential. These farmer support units must start talking to that state land that we have that is available for production. The center supports the farmer that's on the land. Maximize access to markets, maximize high value agricultural land. Obviously, the irrigation schemes that we have in the country provide huge opportunity for agriculture as the one resource that's important for growing and farming is water. If you control water, you usually have a very successful farming situation. Then we look at to maximize the use of existing agro-processing and bulk logistics infrastructure. Don't always go and rebuild everything everywhere. Look at what you have, look at revitalizing that. Typically, an example of this would be, Springbok Park in the northwest, where there were silos that were empty for many years. They've been revamped, and now those silos have grain in them again, and the grain is put into those silos by black farmers. Then support the growing town and revitalization of rural towns. Again, the placement of your agri-hub becomes very important to helping that small town grow again in terms of revitalizing that whole economy, in many cases that has been in decline over a number of years. And it then helps create that linkage between the major city and that specific town. Alright, that brings me to the end of this presentation. I just want to say that we do have a AgriPark help desk. We have an email address there, agriparkinfo@drvlr.gov.za. So if anybody emails there and asks questions, we have a dedicated official there that would forward the information that is being requested or to the relevant person. And then most of the information that you see here and updated information is available on the department's website, drvlr.gov.za, under the AgriParks tab. Thank you very much.
My name is Moshe Swartz. I am serving under UDG Shabane as a Deputy Director General. I'm responsible for the first leg in the network that is known as AgriPark, and that leg is the Farmer Production Support Unit. But this term needs to be clarified, because in rural development, we are not only focusing on agriculture, we are focusing generally on rural productivity. And so we're conveniently using this term, the Farmer Production Center, because the basics of rural economy is indeed agriculture. The members of Chairperson have already received this AgriPark concept note, and the 27 priority farmer production support units that we are dealing with. What I want to deal with is the progress we have been making in the last 2 to 2.5 years regarding making this whole concept now to be turned into practice. What we have done fundamentally, we have studied the agricultural potential of each one of the 45 districts in the country, and Chair, we do have the AgriPark master plans that have been developed by each district. In each master plan, we are very clear regarding the lead commodities for a particular district. There are summary sheets for each one of these districts with the key commodities, the key catalytic projects, what kinds of agro-processing businesses must happen there, who the key role players must be, and what are the infrastructural businesses. I'm now in slide 3 of this presentation. And as my colleague has said, for each one of our district municipalities, we initially intended to have 2 farmer production support units. In other words, what we had started to mobilize were farmers, around 90 of these farmer production support centers. But we are focusing on making practically functional 27 FPSUs by the end of this current year. Each one of these FPSUs, the 27, have already got e-business plans around them and implementation plans. Now, by way of unpacking the FPSU, this slide has already been shown. The key principles being that the FPSU is the first line of service delivery to rural households. We want to bring a center closer to where people are, a convenience center where people can just walk in, not very far from themselves, to go and get whatever they need for being productive, even for items for their enterprises. Now, these FPSUs are not just intended for rural households. They are intended to assist all our land reform programs, whether it's in LRD, land tenure, administration, and also in restitution. In fact, by the end of this presentation, I will give an example of how these FPSUs are translating into support centers across the land reform programs. These are central service delivery points, as I've said, and they are an avenue for inter-branch collaboration. The thrust of this FSU is that it all begins, Chair, with us mobilizing the households around these agri-parks, around a particular FPSU. We enter a household, we conduct a profiling, and from those profiles, we are then given the kinds of needs in terms of the assets that are in a particular household. I'm going to be talking about the various kinds, therefore, of these FPSUs that are actually designed to assist the assets. If there are households with goats, the FPSUs will respond to the various needs of the households that are farming with goats, with wool, red meat. These FPSUs are actually designed to be actually then responsive to all of those needs. The key services that are beginning to be provided from these FPSUs is that after we have done award level household and e-community profiling, we then organize the farmers themselves into legal entities. These legal entities may take a form of a non-profit organization,
non-profit company, it may be a secondary cooperative, depending on the availability of the primary cooperatives on the ground. The key principle that being that the farmers themselves must participate in the management and in the governance of these farmer production support centers. We have begun to bring in the unemployed agricultural graduates as part of the management structures of these FPSU. It's already been mentioned the various kinds of production services such as mechanization, storage, irrigation, fencing materials to be bought in bulk so that the farmers are then able to produce without a disruption of their produce. It's also important that we buy the needs of the farmers in bulk. Rather than one farmer going to buy a bag of fertilizer for 500 rands, bulk buying amongst themselves is really cost effective. And therefore, there are also other services such as marketing services that are intended to be rolled out from these farmer production support centers. I've already mentioned that we are doing all of these services on the basis of profiling, which is a form of research. Profiling consists of gathering information in baseline socioeconomic variables on living conditions of households and their members in the various communities. This information is then analyzed so that we are providing the projects that are responding to the needs of the household. The purpose of profiling, Chair, is to lead to more effective policy planning and service delivery. The socioeconomic needs are then compiled from the data, such as social services, land reform needs, access to basic services. We get out with information relating to the health of each and every member in that household, whether they have been registered, for instance, for the various services of governments, nutrition requirements, and then all of this information, the intention was actually to refer it to relevant departments. We cannot, because we are not able as just one department to actually respond to all of these needs. In addition, the information on these deprived households allows policymakers and implementers to get a better understanding of really what is going on in each and every household. And so, Chair, the unit of analysis of the impact we are going to be making through this agri-park is going to be measured from each and every household. It's not going to be an aggregation of what is happening in a particular village because we go to each and every household that is on a particular site. And I've already said that the socio-economic needs are then compiled and are translated into land reform, social services and basic services and inputs for policy making. What we've got there is information that only stopped in 2013 when we were quite active. When we started with the CRDV back in 2009, we were quite active in identifying policy making sites for developing whatever we need to be doing in each and every site. And so we stopped around 2016 in the actual door-to-door mobilization, and we then were focused into doing more work and spending the money around the actual enterprises that came out of this. So far, we have profiled just over 1,076,000 households in rural areas. These bubbles that are here are showing where we have done the least work and where we have done, the most, profiling across the country. The profiling itself now, we have been blessed by getting the buses from restitution. These are now being used to actually then focus on the profiling of the farmers themselves to participate in the farmer production support centers. These are the gadgets that we are using when we enter into every home. It's a pity that these slides are not quite clear. It's the various gadgets we've been using. And after picking information from each and every home, it can then send an SMS electronic message into the data analysis center. The results of mobilizing and profiling are quite varied. We come up with information regarding demographics, employment, education, land reform, skills, and the various needs in a particular setting. Here we've got an example, for instance, of what we did in Makapan Stad, where you have got an analysis of the main sources of household income, 681 of the total households that we were profiling there, just over 3,000 households. Only 681, for instance, have got salaries that are coming regularly into the households. 97 have got income from businesses. 595 households are dependent on the pension grants, and there's 111 households that are depending on remittances from afar. And so we've got all of this information relating to access to electricity, access to sanitation, school-going people there, how many are employed, how many are unemployed or have just become discouraged from looking for work. The rate of poverty in Makapan Stad is 78% live under poverty line in Makapan Stad. So that's just an example of what we get out of a profiling session with. That slide there gives more deeper detail regarding their health, their material needs, their education requirements, the environmental conditions in a particular ward. And so profiling is really targeted and to focus on very specific data that is needed. The focus is on community profiling, profiling of farmers, and to actually also understand what are the assets in each and every household. And then the farmer support centers themselves, therefore, are centers intended to be close to the households, to respond to their demographic and socioeconomic status, by bringing nearer production support and whatever skills are required, then the center becomes a place for providing those skills. Now, when we profile the farmers themselves, we will know the socioeconomic status of each farmer, the production needs of every farmer, the skills of every farmer, what needs do they have for production, and what sort of markets the production support unit must then respond to. We've got this restitution profiling example that we have been busy with in the last 3 months in the Kruger National Park restitution claim, in order to understand the socioeconomic makeup of the communities around the Kruger, identify all the farmers around that area, identify all of the businesses that are in the villages around that zone. Profiling will then have all of this information matched with available economic opportunities around the Kruger National Park. So we're talking to the Kruger National Park and to actually then find out how do we then match the skills, the assets the people have got, so that the National Park can then begin to use them so that people can then participate in the economic gains realized by the country through the Kruger National Park. The results will allow us to then understand the makeup of the communities, the kind of business that we must boost, and the individuals whose skills need to be enhanced as soon as we have finished that. And that then just gives the detail of what we are busy doing with in terms of the community claimant profile fact sheet. The concept of the FPSU has indeed already been articulated regarding the various services. I'm not really going to go any more deeper into that. Seedlings, fertilizers, pesticides, providing materials for harvesting. We are using also these FPSUs as sites for providing a feed. A drought is beginning to set in closer to communities. I'm going to be showing an example of a certain kind of an FPSU, which actually then responds into making sure that a livestock in a particular setting where the FPSU is then provided with feed and a variety of veterinary services. And when I speak about what we are doing around the goats, for instance, and the FPSUs in KZN, we will see the various services, vaccination and veterinary services provided around these FPSUs. When we establish a mechanization center inside of an FPSU, it is going to respond to the various commodities in the master plan. And when we buy a tractor, it's going to be a tractor related both in type and in size and in strength to the to a particular community. Whether it's plows, planters, those instruments will then be related to what is needed by that particular FPSU. We've already said that we cannot buy certain kinds of mechanization equipment for individual farmers. For instance, a harvester that costs about 6.2 million, for instance, it is impossible for the state to actually then afford to buy that for each and every farmer. And so the FPSU then becomes a center for that collaboration around that. Training services are also starting to be provided from these FPSUs. The provision of market intelligence. Farmers need to be assisted by knowing where best they can find better income for whatever it is that they have produced. So information on prices, market trends, and packaging, labeling is also amongst the services that are intended to be provided there. I'm asked to wrap up, and so I'm going to run, therefore, and then say that what practically is happening on the ground. This is an example of the Mahulugweng in Free State. Those tractors there, this picture was taken as late as December. These are the tractors that we have bought for the farmers there, the implements that are accompanying those tractors. There are those harvesters I'm actually referring to help both land reform farmers and rural development farmers. What has already been done around this FSU, as you can see, those buildings there, the designs for the upgrading of the existing pack house have been completed. The designs for the mechanization center have been completed also. We have upgraded the potato packaging house there, and the construction of that packaging house has been completed at a cost of 7.9 million. And maybe second last, what have we spent so far? Up to the December last year, we spent 30.72 million for those variety of things there, the various tractors and the various implements there, and the construction. That pack house, by the beginning of the planting season, was packed with the seeds that they needed in order to plant beans there. Seeds, chemicals, the fertilizers, to assist 44 farmers to plant 1,850 hectares were provided. During the planting season of October this year, they will not be waiting on us to deliver anything because we have already delivered those seeds. Fertilizers and chemicals were procured for 9.9 million and dry bean seeds for 19.9 million. The expected yield for last year was that they were going to produce 1.2 tons per hectare and producing 60 tons in total, 2,640 tons. The income was that they were going to realize an income of 12,500 rand per ton of beans. The farmers have held back their produce from last year because they were telling us that they are waiting until they will realize 16,000 rands per ton before they can then sell their produce. So all of these beans are in their storage. The rest, Chairperson, is the detail of the various kinds of FPSUs. For instance, this is an FPSU that is we call the custom feed lot, where we bring in the livestock to be fed when it is times of drought. We assist them with buying e-feed milling machines, and then after fattening all of those cattle, we provide e-auctions for themselves. That slide speaks on impact. It goes down to say from 16-17 up to last year, what impact, what monies have been realized from all of these e-auctions that we have assisted e-farmers with. That slide speaks to the money that is being generated by 700 farmers, generating income of 31 million from the sale they are realizing in the various auctions. The presentation talks also about what we are doing around wool farming in the Eastern Cape, the training on wool sorting and sharing the impact that has been made, for instance, with the construction of 1,228 communal sharing sheds to assist over 27,000 producers in the Eastern Cape, involving 160,000 families. And all of this is the money then that is being realized from the last record we've got is from 1819, where in just one district in the Eastern Cape, the households realized over 331 million rands from exporting their wool. I think I'm going to stop there. The last being the information we are giving the portfolio committee around what we're doing around goat improvement projects via our goat development initiatives in 5 districts of the KZN. I think the slide itself is quite detailed to provide the portfolio committee more information on what's going on. With that, I thank you very much.
Thanks, Dr. Swart. Honorable members, that was the AgriParks concept going up to the farmer support unit.
Chair, thank you very much. I just got that before perhaps the chair hands over to the members for the question. The one element that perhaps has not been clearly articulated from the presentation is that the department hasn't abandoned the concept of agri-parks. The new minister has directed that, given the limited resources at our disposal, the primary focus for implementation by the department should be the production farmer support units. That is going to be the key focus, as you will see, over the next few years. Not all the full elements of the agri-parks will be implemented, but the key is going to be on the production farmer support units.
Thanks, DG. That was the background, just giving the members information on the agri-parks and the farmer support unit. Now, what you're saying we're going to find in the different provinces, that is the gist, the actual implementation for sure of this farmer support units, of what is going on within the provinces, and I think that is where members have got interest. The background has been given, and now we go into the actual implementation of what is on the ground. Do we proceed, members, or do you want to talk to the concepts? Honorable State. Perfect. Can we then take item 2, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, KZN, just like that, on the farmer support unit presentation?
The following presentations, Chair, then goes and it zooms in province by province into what is starting to unfold. And in the Free State, there are 3 of the farmer production support units. And the one I used was the one in Mahulukweng. Mahulukweng is in the northeastern Free State. What we have done was to put together implementation plans. Since we are now merging, are in the process of merging with the former Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, we have then combined our energies and forces with the agricultural officials in each and every district and said if we need to implement from these FPSUs, let us then identify exactly what is the amount of land that we want to put under production in the short term, in other words, by March next year. And so we have identified 6,763 hectares that must be put under production to be supported from the FPSU. There's 58 farmers involved in there. It includes rural farmers in the villages around Imahulugwe, including also land reform farmers in the LRD, land redistribution and irrestitution farmers. The key product here, as I've already articulated, is dry beans and trailed by maize. And the investment that has been set aside in terms of a budget is 63.5 million. That is going to go to fertilizer and the chemicals, dry bean seeds that have already been delivered, and some mechanization and implements for that particular FPSU in Makhuluke. I'm not going to dwell much there because I've already articulated what is happening and what has been completed around that FPSU in Makhuluke. Then there is Sidiba FPSU in the Free State. There, the intention is to put under production 3,470 hectares for 820 farmers that are involved in wool production, production of vegetables and in livestock. And we have set aside a combined budget of 51.4 million between ourselves in the former LR, Rural Development Land Reform and UDAF. That money is going to be spent for mechanization production inputs to be delivered. Well, the delivery should have started by the second week of September this year. And so these presentations go to chairperson of what has already been constructed, for instance, in terms of infrastructure in Isediba for a phase one of construction, the upgrading of 40 hectares of irrigation scheme for production of lucerne, vegetables production, construction of a workshop, storage facility, offices and backyard gardens also are going to be assisted on for 307 rural households around Isediba. The Isediba FSU construction, we are intending that it's going to be completed by the end of March next year because of certain delays. The construction cost is 15.3 for this particular FPSU. And I want to now just rush on and look at the one Ondendal, which is the last one in the Free State. We have identified 1,124 hectares, 452 farmers for the production of livestock and maize, and the budget that has been set aside is 35.7 million for mechanization and production inputs to be delivered by the second week of September this year. And we also have got a progress on the Lijwe Libutswa Agri-Park in general, which is the items that my colleagues has spoken about. These are the designs, for instance, around the Agri-Hub. The EIA application was submitted and it was approved. The development application, township for township establishment and rezoning was also submitted. Approval is anticipated by the end of this October. The design for the FPSU itself, for the first phase, Chairperson, which is therefore about infrastructure services, the logistics center, and the design themselves are going to be costing us just over R1 million. The construction of the logistics center is now going through the tender process for this Ondendal FPSU. The construction is estimated to be around 13.6 million. The contractor we were anticipating was going to be on site by the end of September this current year. And so, Che, I can go on then to Mpumalanga and take your time, but I'm going to be guided by you, you know, how much you want me to go in detail over this province. In Mpumalanga, we have got the Huntingdon, Ngushu, FSU sites, Ngushu Agri Park has been, I think it's nearing completion. And the Huntington Pack House has been completed in Mpumalanga. The Huntington Tractor Shed we are procuring services for it. And then the 111-kilometer access road is also at the bidding stage. At Tulama Hashepek House, also is under the procurement process. Dingleton and New Forest Irrigation Canal, also on, at the bidding stage. The dipping tanks, the handling facilities, eight of these completed and three are being planned. 30 hectares at Allen Daly Micro Jet Irrigation System has been put in place. Mechanization workshop for tractor repairs will be completed in this current year. 751 hectares planned for ploughing around that FPSU. 48 tractors with implements have been made available for mechanization support for that particular FPSU. A training center, e-administration offices, and e-veterinary clinic center is also under e-construction for this particular Huntington Mkhushu FPSU at Mpumalanga. That slide gives the various fuel costs for maize production. I'm not going to go into that detail for the commodities that we are going to be producing from those FPSUs. The next slide is called Sey Branskraal. This one has got a maize miller completed in it. Ekamil Refiri irrigation tunnels are being procured. Kwamhlanga Abattoir phase one has been completed and phase two is under planning. And Kwafeni, the auction plant, has been completely refurbished. 7 hectares at Kransport irrigation will be completed by the end of this current year. E-dipping tanks and e-handling facilities to be completed, and two have been completed and two are being planned. E-livestock fencing for 40 kilometers have been completed and 40 more kilometers are planned for completion in this particular year. Mechanization workshop for e-tractor repairs is going to be completed this current year. 2,077 hectares of grain production are planned for ploughing and planting and provision for seeds and fertilizers has been made. We have 31 tractors with their implements that have been made available so far for that FPSU at Sey Branskraal. And 50,000 birds, houses, two of them have been completed, or should be completed by the end of this year around and connected with that FPSU in Mpumalanga. And there's the pictures there of what the Mkhushu Agri Hub currently looks like, which is a collaboration between the Department of Agriculture in the province and ourselves and the municipality in the district. If the the committee goes there, these are the buildings that you are going to be seeing. The packing of the various vegetables is at a very, very initial stage. One of the things that we need to do there is to just make sure that we get the air conditioning quite okay so that these tomatoes, do not take a short time to get rotten. And this is the dipping tank, which is a form of a support unit that we have provided around a bush park bridge. Now, for each one of the implementation plans we have got around this FPSUs, we've got e-production plans, and that, Chairperson, is an example of what needs to be done by what time and at what cost across all of these. That is what you will see physically when you visit the Sey Branskraal feed miller. It's a maize miller, as a matter of fact. And the dipping tanks that you will see around the FSUs in Tembisile, Hani, not so far from Gaude. Now, the Bush Buck Ridge FPSU is supporting a variety of projects, which is really the design, what the design is meant to be. That there must be projects that say that, yes, we can testify that from that particular FPSU, we have received this and that help. Tula Mahashe, Tractor Workshop, the Allendale Citrus, that there is a list of the items that are going to be assisted and the budget connected to each and every item there. I'm rushing then to Gert Isibande. There's FPSU that has been provided with a maize miller, and there's a tractor shed also at Dan Donald. And these are the various infrastructures. And when you go there to at Dan Donald, you will see the miller that we are actually revamping there. It's an old mill that was developed in the early 90s. We're revamping it now so that it can be more efficient in the milling of food. Market analysis has also been done. Going to the Western Cape province, we've got two of these FPSUs. One is called an Ebenezer FPSU. We have identified around the Ebenezer FPSU in the Western Cape 4,300 hectares that must be brought into production and support from that kind of FPSU. And there's 170 farmers. We've got their profiles, we've got their names that are going to be benefiting from this FPSU. And the commodities in terms of the master plans is vegetables, lucerne, and livestock. And an amount of a budget of 28 million rands has been set aside. The, of course, mechanization and the provision of implements has been delivered already at Ebenezer, and the production inputs will be delivered hopefully before the end of this month, so that we are catching up with the planting season there. And this slide gives you a picture of the tractors that have been delivered towards the end of last year. These were handed over. I think the president went to hand these ones over, and with our ministers. And so, and these are pictures of the implements that you will see when you actually visit and to do your oversight at Ebenezer. And the designs are there for the infrastructure, and which we intend the construction of to start in the building of mechanization center, storage facility, office space, ablution facilities, workshop, chemical storage, a loading bank, a diesel tanks, a weighing bridge, a sewer reticulation, water reticulation, and a surface hardening paving, and a perimeter security fence. These are projects that are in progress. When you visit there, you will then be given a progress on all of these infrastructure facilities. Ebenezer, this slide shows the kind of mechanization support, the kind of production support, the kind of infrastructure support, and the human resources actually that are in the process of being put there. For instance, around human resources, we are in the process of appointment an FSU manager, a tractor operator, a security officer, an administrative assistant. These have been approved, and we intend that, you know, before the end of this current year, these people will be physically there to manage that site. Another site of an FPSU is not very far from here, on the other side of Wellington, Isaron. This has got 1,452 hectares. Isaron, that's going to be involving 92 farmers in the production of vegetables. Southern farmers are big on sheep farming, Chairperson. We have set aside 16 million rands there. We have already delivered mechanization. The implements have been delivered. The production inputs will then also be delivered before the planting season is over for this year. When you go there, these are the deliverables that you will see there. Four tractors, four disc plows, and fertilizer mixers for the farmers there. And in as far as the infrastructure, our counterparts is working on the mechanization center, office space, and ablution blocks, security facility, the sewer reticulation, water reticulation, surface hardening, and other paving, and a perimeter security fencing there. Again, like the previous slides in Ebenezer, we're telling the members there the kind of mechanization support details, production input details, infrastructure detail, and human resources plans that we are going to be putting in place at the Saron FPSU. Going to KwaZulu-Natal with the 10 district municipalities, we have got just about in each one of those district municipalities an FPSU. We've got in Suze, which is at King Pechwayo District Municipality, There we are planning to just do a minimum of 245 hectares for 376 farmers who are involved in vegetable. That slide also tells them that mechanization with implements and storage facilities and impact homes have already been available. You will find out when you do your rounds, Chairperson, that these FPSUs are at various different stages of development. In some of these areas, you will not find a brick and mortar thing. You will find a transitional kind of an arrangement, like a park home, depending on the exposure and the time we've spent, you know, around the FSU in this particular area. We're not here to tell the committee that all of these are at the same kind of development. That slide gives us what has been planned by the various branches, like rural enterprises and industry development, rural infrastructure, what it is that they're going to be delivering in terms of storage facilities, impact homes, operation facilities at 74 million rands. The Department of Agriculture in the province is bringing together also from their KD 2.2 million for seedlings there for around the tomato, butternuts. So together, there's an amount of no less than 89 million that's going to be made available for that Nsuze FPSU. And from Nsuze, you've got these pictures that you should be able to see that it is, though it is at its infant stages, Chairperson, there's production happening at the sites that are being supported from this center. We were embarrassed at one time then because we were not quite proactive in finding the markets before time. Many of those cabbages that you are seeing there, you know, were sending a stench, and we were really, really quite embarrassed there by not having being proactive in finding the markets even before we put the seedlings on the ground. But that was a lesson, and we bent our fingers, and we are intending never to repeat that ever again. So when you go there, you will see those tractors and these facilities, storage operation facilities that has already been put in place around that FPSU here in Nsuze. There are the women there from the various households that are actively participating there. You will see the trucks for the transportation of the produce around Nsuze FPSU. From Nsuze, we have at Utukela district municipality what is called the Hlatikulu FPSU. From that FPSU, the plan this year is to support no less than 650 hectares, in which are involved 234 subsistence and small-scale farmers in the production of dry beans and maize. And we have set aside, as a collective, 32.5 million. Mechanization and implements and storage facilities and the park homes have already been made available. What is going, we're going to be focusing on is the delivery of inputs. We are also in that slide telling the committee members what are the various contributions from the department of the old DAF and the old rural development in from the various branches, a total of 13.144 million. In Hlatikulu. And Hlatikulu is helping a lot of various projects from there that when we ever go there, probably we'll then have a chance to have the people there, especially mostly over 60% women, will then be talking to the various projects that we assisted from the Hlatikulu FPSU. Those are the implements that are going to be seen there. Then there's the Tugela Ferry FPSU in KZN, which is at Umzinyat. Around that one, a lot of work has been done, bringing an irrigation scheme into life. 700 hectares of production have been planned to involve 1,200 farmers, specifically chair around vegetables, and an amount of 23.8 million has been set aside. Mechanization, implements, storage facilities, and a park home have already been made available there. And what we're going to be using that money, more of that money for, is more on inputs and transportation needs. Again, that slide details what each branch across all of these two former departments are contributing, and together with the Department for Agriculture there, we are going to be spending no less than 50.5 million around the Tugela Ferry FPSU at Umzinyathi in the Msinga local municipality. Then there is Jigijela FPSU, which is at Ilembe. There we are starting very, very small with 100 hectare patch for only 104 farmers who are producing vegetables. Mechanization implements and storage facilities. The park homes have already been made available in the previous year. And we are going to be spending 30.6 million in the current year so that the production is actually boosted there. And again, that slide gives the detail of the various contributions from the various branches in the two departments that are merging now to assist that FPSU at Mapumulo local municipality. You will see those implements when you visit there. Then there is Indum, an area of pride for us, because this one has been coming for quite some time with us. There we have got implementation plans for 1,564 hectares involving 189 rural village farmers involved in the production of vegetables. So we've done quite a lot in the last 3 years there at Nduma with the mechanization, implements, storage facilities, and a park home. And that 3.8 million rand is going to be spent for the production inputs. And again, that slide says what the Ndumo FPSU at Mkanyagude in the Jozini local municipality is going to be enjoying in terms of a budget. When you get Ndumo, you will see not a lot of buildings, but you will see transitional, temporary infrastructure there, like those that you see on this slide. But on the ground there, the farmers will then be able to tell you exactly what kind of vegetables they have been able to produce and to market from that FPSU. Then there is St. Paul at Herigwala District Municipality. Very small patch of 22 hectares with 85 farmers for subsistence farmers there. And they are involved in livestock. At this particular FPSU, the nature of support here is around livestock, chairperson. It's a custom feedlot that they made available through our collaboration with the National Agricultural Marketing Council, NAMC. Mechanization implements and storage facilities also to a degree have been made available. Those are the various contributions from the various branches and together with the Department of Agriculture, 1.4 million for this current year. When you get to St. Paul, you will then be able to see this farmer support center, unit support center, which is really the custom feedlot designed around the needs of the various households that do have these assets for themselves. That's a picture of the St. Paul FPSU that was launched earlier this year for feeding the livestock for the farmers in that vicinity. You will not find these now. You know, they were fattened and they were sold. And we've got figures to give you in terms of the money that is now flown back into each and every farmer whose livestock that were fattened in that FPSU. And then there's a horseshoe at Ugu District Municipality. That's going to be assisting bring into production 800 hectares for 200 farmers, the commodities being dry beans and maize. Mechanization implements and storage facilities in park homes have already been made available. That 2.3 chairperson is going to be for inputs. That slide again gives the detail of the collaboration and the contributions from the various departments. That's what you will see when you go to the Horseshoe Farmer Production Center. And I'm rushing to Ebululwane, which is in Zululand. We're going to be bringing into production. In fact, we will be continuing in supporting 184 hectares, 436 small-scale community-based farmers, which in the production of vegetables, beans and maize mechanization implements a storage facility, and a park home, which is transitional, has already been made available, and 2.8 has been set aside for reproduction this year. Buluwani contribution for the various departments is also available, and when you get there, you will see the little bits of mechanization and implements that have been provided from that site, Buluwani. Moy Refir, FPSU, 600 hectares is targeted for 605 farmers. As you can see, this is really small patches for vegetable production, and 32.5 million has been set aside. And those slides then give you the detail of what is going to be going on there at Msinga. That's the produce that was realized in the last seasons and the tractors that have been delivered. Eshushukwe, FPSU, Mkanyagude, 2,000 hectares is going to be brought into production for 149 rural farmers. Many of them are in livestock production. So far, mechanization implements and storage facilities, park homes have been made available, and that money is really going to be focusing on e-production. The slide also then gives a detail of the collaboration and the contributions up to 13.9 million. Going to the Northern Cape province, we have got two sites, the first being Yenungsvlei FPSU. This one is going to be supporting huge tracts of land, over 180,000 hectares. It's dry country, and 400 livestock farmers are going to be involved there, and the 27.3 million is really going to be going to livestock medicines, breeding stock, and livestock facilities for those farmers. That 180 really is really the range land for the livestock for the farmers are going to be supported from Yenungsvlei FPSU. Now, the Yenungsvlei Production Support Center has got some work that has already been done there. I cannot read this slide, and I'm sorry for that. And if I cannot read it, I know the farmers, the members will not be able to read this slide. But it focuses on just a background information about the nature of the Yenungsvlei FPSU itself. But the following slide then it shows the members some of the work that has already been accomplished at Yenungsvlei, the handling facilities there, and what we are intending to have delivered by the end of this year between URID, Infrastructure Development, URAID, CASP, led by Mr. Otonyane there, and what LRD, led by Director Mache, is going to be realizing around the one household, 1 hectare, program, and how UNARISEC is going to be involved there when they are made available. And we are detailing also the budget there from the various branches in the various former departments. A total of 27 billion then is going to be expended by the end of 2019-20 year. The other FPSU is called A-Land. We're looking at supporting production over 6,650 hectares, and 497 farmers are involved in two commodities, specifically lucerne production and vegetables. And what we have set aside for this year is an expenditure of 20.5 million rands. In mechanization with implements and production inputs for planting season are part of the items that are going to be bought under that. The A-Land thing is a new FPSUs. We were advised by the Department of Agriculture that if we want to deliver to the minister functional FPSUs in the Northern Cape, let's go to these old underutilized places, you know, that were put in place during the apartheid times, and there's already infrastructure, rather than go on a green field to start something new. And so we have then redirected ourselves there. And so not much has actually happened there. This one is in the very, very early stages of functionality. That slide gives the background again. It says already what have we already acquired in terms of implements. These slides actually are even showing you that we are delivering these tractors there. It shows the amount that has been budgeted at 20 million
rent has been budgeted for this year. We're going to Limpopo now, and in Limpopo we've got three of these FPSUs, and we've got in Sekukuni an FPSU called Fleischboom. From a Fleischboom, we're going to be assisting bringing to production over 1,194 hectares, involving 1,026 farmers in the production of maize and vegetables. 22 million rands have been set aside. Mechanization implements and production inputs are going to be delivered so that we are ready for this planting season at the Fleischboom. And in terms of infrastructure, during phase one, the construction is 70% complete in as far as the administration section, a pack house, storage facility, mechanical service workshop section, and a cold storage. The pictures there are showing the construction work that is in progress around Fleischboom in Limpopo. And it gives you also what we are intending to have accomplished, you know, by the 31st of March 2020, and it also gives some information regarding what we need to do then when we then go to second phase in the construction of silos, diesel tanks, pack house machinery, basic infrastructure, paving the roads that then lead to that FPSU at Fleischboom. That slide, the various contributions, including the inputs of 11 million for this current year. The next one is called Masalal. It's in Mopani. This FPSU is going to be assisting and bringing to production 410 farmers, 2,200 hectares. And 25 million has been set aside. Mechanization with implements and production inputs are going to be delivered for this Masalal this year, before the 31st of March 2020. What you will see there, Masalal, really is focusing on packaging of vegetables. There is a very strong collaboration at Masalal with the provincial agriculture, the packaging of a variety of commodities has already started there, because there is a pack house that has already been launched there. That pack house has been facilitated with machines for grading and packaging the produce. And most of the budget there actually came from the provincial agriculture. But this is one of those FPSUs that hopefully the portfolio committee is going to be feeling proud of, because there's been deep collaboration here. At Masalal, a contractor has been appointed for a variety of facilities, and that I expected to be completed by May next year. This construction there is at 33 million. That's the amount that are going to be spent there, and it's for an admin support building there, and the security block there for in and a place for storing production. What is functioning right now there is ablution facilities. Fruit pack house is operational, and there's a three-phase electricity. There's water available. There's office space. Five offices are available there, and there is an access road that is still in a poor condition that we're going to be focusing on there at Masala. That slide there gives you the background of what is in progress in more detail there, and the major tasks there that are then being budgeted for in this current year. Going to the Northwest province, we have got three of these FPSUs. I want to remind the members that we're talking here about prioritized FPSUs, in other words, the 27 that UDG has already spoken of, that the minister wants us to actually bring into a state of functionality by the end of March next year. We have already spoken about the Springbok Pan Agri-Park in the Ngaga Mulema. There's an Agri-Park there at Springbok Pan in the Ngaga Mudiri Mulema district. The Agri-Hub itself has got a warehouse that has been made available. Bulk services
have been made available, but the focus of this presentation is actually the FPSUs. That is a schematic representation of the agri hub feed that Mr. Hyman was actually referring to, which is under construction. That's a pictorial schematic representation of the same facility. And these then are the various budgets. There is the production of sunflower and maize, ground nuts and poultry around that FPSU, that agri hub. The next FPSU is called Magweling, which is in Bujanala district. The FPSU infrastructure that is planned for this current year involves a variety of stakeholders. Construction of admin block with a training facility and a veterinary store and office that is 618 square meters, and a storage shared 470 square meters, boundary fence auction facility of 143 square meters, drilling and equipping of borehole is what is actually planned here. And all of this work, the renovation that's going to be happening there, the boreholes, the water storage tanks that are going to be provided there, the electrification, the civil works and the mechanical works are estimated at the budget that has been set aside of 27 million for the Magweling FPSU. That is an architectural representation of the proposed FPSU for Magweling there. That's going to be unfolding. In the Eastern Cape, we've got three of these FPSUs. We've got one, Kamata, that's going to be bringing to support 1,335 hectares, involving 2,400 farmers that have already been, we found farming around the irrigation scheme. These are old irrigation schemes that were established during the Transkei government there. We're revamping them. We want people to be having markets for their maize, vegetables, and lucerne. And we are planning. There's a lot of infrastructure there, Chairperson. Some of it is rotting, which is why we want to bring in NRSEC young people so that their focus is on maintenance. And mechanization with the implements has already been made available at Kamata. A lot of tractors there that we found there are rotting and they are dysfunctional. And so we want to make sure that there is a center there that's going to provide services for maintaining the tractors that we have put in place there. So they are made available, and that 7.8 million is really going to be going into inputs for this year. Kamata, Bilaike, really, as I've said, is irrigation schemes. The extent of Bilaike alone is just over 1,700, which comprises of 5 hectares, which is under pivot irrigation, and the rest is dry land farming. At Kamata, there's over 4,000 hectares that is used under e-flood irrigation and center pivots. The main enterprises there, commodities, maize, lucerne, vegetables, and epigary. And that slide there gives more detail regarding the elements of functionality of that particular FPSU at Kamata Bilaike. And that's an overview, an aerial view of the infrastructure I'm talking about, which really we have found rotting, severely underutilized there. And we want now to actually just bring all of these facilities to life instead of going to start a new FPSU in a greenfields area elsewhere. And in Bilaike, that's an aerial view of the FPSU and in Bilaike and the various contributions there. These are the mechanization facilities that are there, and you can see that we've bought that huge harvester there, 6.3 million rands, to actually assist there during the harvesting times in that irrigation schemes. There are silos there, old silos that have really for a long time been and underutilized. So as we begin to boost productivity with the FPSU, we are intending that there's going to be huge opportunities for job creation around Ebilaike. These are the amounts of monies that have been set aside for the 2019 and 2020 implementation plans for production there. Kamata, currently is very big on production of Inansiga. This is a live picture, a picture that was taken recently on the production of Ilusen. There's quite some decent money that farmers are realizing around the production of Ilusen at Gamata Bilaye. The next one, Eastern Cape, is around Izanyokwe. Izanyokwe and Kesikamau Chairperson also are these old irrigation schemes that were created by the Ciskei government. We are revamping them, and we've started with a few farmers, 288 rural-based farmers. There is a dairy that is existing or already made available through the land reform farmers, Ekaskamauk. There's maize production, there's vegetable production. We've set aside 34 million, but the mechanization with implements have already been made available. And that money is really going to be going to the production inputs around Gamata. That slide shows the collaboration from the various old departments, that were agriculture and rural development. And that's an aerial view of the irrigation scheme at Ikaisikamauk. And that's an aerial view of the Zanyokwe irrigation scheme. What you see there is the outgrowing of lots of shrubs there on what used to be productive, you know, areas. And with the mechanization that we're bringing there, we are going to be clearing a lot of bush there, the chairperson, with the infrastructure and the mechanization facilities that we're bringing and the implements we're bringing around Zanyokwe. Those are just aerial views. Now, going for Gauteng, what are we doing in Gauteng? We have two FPSUs around Gauteng. The Bekkersdal FPSU, which is in the West Rand, is going to be supporting 797 hectares, involving 84 farmers involved in vegetables. What has been set aside, 7 million for this year, because in the previous year we have mechanization implements that have been made available. That money is just going to be going into supporting the actual production at 7 million at Bekkersdal. And then there's the facilities that have been made available in Western Area Agri Park, the hydroponics, the pack house, the administration block, and the trading room there that has been made available between ourselves and the Department of Agriculture in the Gauteng province. This is a very modern kind of an hydroponics that are vertical. Two young people, the former engineering graduates, are involved in the production of a variety of vegetables in that hydroponics site. That's what it looks like when you go inside. It's not always as green as this throughout the year, but that's what normally is happening there in this vertical production of the vegetables. The other one that we are busy with at Gauteng is what is known as the Talton FPSU. This also is at West Rand, 197 hectares, involving 16 farmers in vegetable production. Mechanization implements have already been made available in the last 2 years, and that 16 million is then going to go into inputs. That's the hydroponic center that you will see when you go to Talton. And it's a variety of vegetables that are being produced there. And there's just over, I think there's over 8 of these huge, no, 20 of these hydroponic tunnels that you will find existing there at Talton. This then brings me, Chairperson, to the end of the 27 FPSUs that should be functional optimally by the end of March next year. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Swart. Honorable members, colleagues, at this point, let me use my powers to give you a 5 minutes comfort break, then we come back and discuss. Oh.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe as we come back from the break, Dr. Swart must make a next presentation on Daun, because it appears here as one of the 3 in the Northwest, but only focuses on 2. Yeah, thanks.
We are on break. 5-2, we all seated. That is the actual implementation. There was a request that is what that you said there were three FSU in Northwest and you only spoke to two, omitting Dawung as one of the three. And Honorable Montwedi made a request that before we start engaging, can you please talk to Dawung FPSU?
Chair, I must acknowledge the fact that it's not in this presentation, I must just apologize for that. And I don't have the details. I do not know the details, you know, by heart of what is actually going on there on that particular FSU, as indicated.
Thanks, that is what Nidia Poulos. Nete ya pholosa a ke tsika sekgolo. Truth will set you free, because I was waiting also to hear if there's an FPSU in Taung, and Honorable Montwedi said there's one that you omitted in Taung. Honorable members, those are presentations. Can I take hands that wants to speak to this? I will allow members to speak to the presentations on everything. Your team presenters, the department will take notes, so that as and when members has done their engagement, we allow you also enough space to speak to their concerns, to respond to their issues. Can I take hands of members? I want to check the reason why I'm saying I'm looking at hands. You want me to take line and Honorable Kabekulu is not raising his hand. You will come at the end. Or do I start with you? Okay. All right. It will be Honorable Stay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm almost speechless, but I'll use my opportunity to say something, Chair. I think at the very first meeting that we held this year with the Minister, I mentioned agri-parks, and maybe also that's why it's in the presentation. I will start with the question that Honourable Montwedi asked. I have visited agri-parks. If you go onto the website of the department where all the business plans are on and everything, there are agri-parks there, and I want to mention Butterworth. I even dealt with people in the past.
Honorable Stein, sorry, excuse for interruption. Dr. Swartzi and Dr. Mike, can you please see the site so that you respond from the site? You can take your laptop if it's yours or it's not your resource laptop. Just sit in front there. The mics are working also. Sorry, Ma, for disturbing your train of thought.
No, don't worry, Jay. It's not you that disturbed me. I was disturbed with the presentation. Chairperson, my question is, that would be the first one, what is it that we're receiving today? Is it the ones that the department now wants to focus on, or is it the ones that was actually already on the ground, money spent on Butterworth? I think 32 million rand was spent on it. It's standing. I basically fell upon it looking for Butterworth Agri-Park. 35 million rand spent on it, vandalized. I drive past Springfontein on the N1 in the Free State every week. I see that building there. It's not even here. So I don't know what is the presentation about today? So if we maybe can just get clarity on that, it's going to assist us. Then linked to that, Chairperson, I would like to have a one-pager thing that says, in this province, this is the amount that was budgeted for this program, this is how much we have spent. So much was spent on a business plan, so much was spent on a contractor, so much was spent on this, so much was spent on that, so much was spent on farmer support, because I don't see the farmers in this presentation. It's all about it, contractors and business plans and all of this and all of that. The agric parks that we visited in the previous term, Chairperson, as committee members in the Northwest, and maybe yourself might have been there in Mpumalanga, the complaints from the farmers was they spoke to everyone except us. Some of these pack houses have been built, Chairperson, in places that's so far away from the farmers. It's going to cost them their whole income to go and deliver there. So what was the idea? I understand. I listened to the presentation. I've been part of it. It sounds brilliant. But it's not practically implemented. It can't work. We are so far away. Farmers sometimes is 100 or 50 or 80 kilometers. They don't have transport. So I would like to understand, firstly, what it is that we got today. What happened to all of those that money was spent on and nothing happened? What happened to Comprehensive Rural Development Program? I was thinking Diatalawa. I read the presentation about when we got Chairperson in the past, presentations of Comprehensive Rural Development Project. Now we have another one in the Free State looking at the map. It looks to me almost, you know, in the range of Diatalawa, where millions of rands were spent to do basically the same things. Now we have another one somewhere. Is it linked? Is it not linked? What is going on? Then, Chairperson, I already spoke about the budget. I'm trying to understand, reading all the slides, because you have one slide, the first one that has the project name with a nice picture on it, and there's some money, you know, going in a purse into that thing. Then it would say 32 million. Then there's the next slide, then it speaks about 14 million and 16 million and 36 million and something million on the same project. So I need to understand what amount has been spent on each one of them. I also want to find out why there are so many in KZN. My concern, Chairperson, is we've been in KZN. We've seen no monitoring and evaluation. So that would be my next question. Who is monitoring this? And I'm concerned, Chairperson, that Mr. Swart says he doesn't know. So I would like to find out, give me the name of the official responsible to monitor these projects. Who takes the ultimate fall if things go wrong? Then, Chairperson, is it possible for us to get the implementation plans? What was said per project and what the cost was? But not only these ones. The ones that's already there on the ground, vandalized and standing empty. I'll stop here, Chair. I've got lots of questions about the different provinces, but it's going to take the whole day. I'll leave it to the rest of the members.
Thank you, Chair. Based on our experience in KZN, I would say that this presentation looks very professional and very beautiful, but we've all proven that the taste of the pudding is in the eating. So we really have to go down there and look and see. coming to the questions, I just wanted to know that in the hub itself, the rural urban marketing centers, are they in any way connected to the National Agricultural Marketing Council? Is there any synergy there with the with that particular organization? And the fact that there is agricultural activity going on and research activity going on, are you guys linked to the ARC in any way? And then secondly, with the youth, I see you have unemployed graduates. I'd just like to find out how do you actually identify these unemployed youth, these unemployed graduates from the agricultural schools. I'd like to know how you identify them and what is the criteria for them to be, or and are they employed on a full-time basis? I'm also worried that we talk, it seems, I don't know whether it comes from what Mr. Shabane said, that the minister spoke about them concentrating on FPSUs. So therefore, most of the presentation that we have got today is farmers are going to be assisted. It is going to be, we are talking about the future. In all the presentations that I've seen, it's just about the future, especially the presentation from Mr. Swart. I'm also worried, like my colleague Annette Steyn, what happened in the past? Where is the report of what has happened and the millions that have been spent in the past? And then concentrating on page 35, this Makholo Hweng FPSU, the investment there is 30.7 million. I'd just like to know, how do you measure return on investment? It's all very well telling us what the investment is, but how are you going to measure your return on investment? And do you have any financing and investment models, or is there a model that you can share with us in terms of that? Private sector participation, are there any synergies with the private sector? The agricultural industry has got a lot of services across the board, even with your farmer unions, etc., etc., the cooperatives. Is there any synergies with what can I call them, organizations or units like that? And we talk about a lot of assets that have been bought, mechanization, tractors, harvesters, etc., etc., etc. In each and every FPSU, who is the individual who is responsible for those assets? We know in the past that we've bought tractors for farmers, they've been stolen, they've been vandalized. Who is going to be held accountable? And who? And is there an asset register for those assets? And then, like my colleague Annette Steyn, I have a lot of questions in terms of the individual, but I'm going to leave it because otherwise, you know, I'd be selfish to the other members. So my last question is, AgriPark Management Council, we saw mention of this in the Lijwela Putswa, I think it is Lijwela Putswa, FPSU. Is this something that is there across the board with all the agri with all the FSUs, this Agri Park Management Council? And if not, why not? And what is their actual function? Thank you very much.
Honorable Briet.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe just to link and to add on to what my colleagues have said, I hear many intentions and I hear many plans, and I do not get a concrete, I do not see something on the ground, and that is my fear. The idea of an agri-park is beautiful and it is perfect and it is wonderful, but I do not see it implemented on ground level. Maybe, Ben, I just want to ask these questions. The timelines being spoken to in all of the presentations and the timelines being spoken differ. And my worry is specifically, Chairperson, a lot has been made mention of by the end of October they will have. By the end of October they will have. By the end of March they will have. And some of the presentations said they received in March 2019. My fear is we're long past March 2019. End of October is next week. That's 7 days. And the end of the financial year in March 2020, by which we are promising all of these operational FPSUs, is steamrolling on top of us in 4 months' time. How geared and how set are we to actually achieve these targets and these timelines being spoken to, and what guarantee do we have that they will not just be pushed back and pushed back and pushed back until these FPSUs that you are claiming are functioning and starting to function will not be vandalized FPSUs, as Honourable Stain has mentioned. Furthermore, I would like to ask, Chairperson, in terms of, and maybe I think Honourable Stain and Mabama said both, that what is our time frames? What are we working to? What are we striving to? Do we have clear-cut goals? These agri-parks, if I understood it correctly by the first presentation, was conceptualized 2015-16. So we have spent 4 years on planning these agri-parks, and I have not actually seen a physical one working as it should be. So we, and I hear about the phases, and we starting with phase one, which is the FPSUs, but how long before all three phases are actually implemented and functioning and serving our communities? Extension offices, Chairperson, is my fear, and I would maybe like to link that to districts. I come from the Free State. We do not have one single operational functioning district municipality. We have instances where municipal managers and mayors aren't speaking to one another so bad that provincial government has to intervene. What was the rationale behind taking agri-parks to district level? Because if a district can't even do its basic operations, how are we entrusting them with rural development? And linking to that as well, districts are huge. They are thousands of square kilometers. How are we envisioning, how are we supporting in terms of the transport of that, Chairperson? And our extension officers, you said, are there to get, we have extension officers to come closer to the farmers. But we had an instance during our oversight in KZN where the first time our extension officers were actually at the project they oversee was during oversight with this portfolio committee. How are we empowering our extension officers, and how are we monitoring our extension officers, and how are we ensuring that our extension officers are not just giving, excuse to call the Afrikaans, but these spook awesome reports that sound beautiful but are not there on the ground? And Chairperson, maybe in terms of that, how often do you receive progress reports, and how often does the department physically, in terms of Mr. Swartz and the previous presenter, physically go and double check that which is being told, which is being given to them in reports, are actually there? And I would like to use an example of Ndomo FPSU, where I was physically at, which we got told is beautiful, and we have tractors, and we see the beautiful pictures. And I think Honourable Mtwede is going to have to assist me there, because I remember you speaking about the tractors and the implements there. And they are standing there with half a meter long grass around them. They have physically not moved. We go into the state-of-the-art backhouse. We've just had a presentation from the actual farmers, and they're farming with cabbage. Yet in the backhouse, we have state-of-the-art implements and I want to say stationary, but we have a state-of-the-art packhouse for potatoes. Millions spent on things for potatoes, and we're not harvesting, we're not planting potatoes whatsoever. So, and that is my fear, Chairperson. And maybe just, I've spoken a long time. Oh, maybe just one last thing. And I think in a previous committee you have mentioned that once tractors are bought and once implements are bought, it is given over to that FPSU and they have to run it. But my fear is, do we teach them about asset registers? Do we? How do we monitor that which is given by government to these FPSUs are still there and are not being sold off or used for parts? Because it doesn't help. We promise everything, but nothing works. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll leave it at that.
Honorable Masipa.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, my question relates to Saron FPSU. I have the privilege of visiting Saron project, and when I visited the project, I met with the members of the community who had concern about the implementation of the project because the project was not, people did not participate on the ground level in terms of the finalization. They have provided arguments around, you know, what the support they need and what the issues are. And one of the issues, Chair, was that they need water. They don't have waters. And the Department of Agriculture also tried to convince this department that whatever that they are planning to support this community with is not going to work. However, the department went ahead with the implementation of this project. The question that I have is that the rural development obviously specialized on the land issues, and obviously the Department of Agriculture specialized in agricultural experts. Why will this department refuse to take advices from the Department of Agriculture? I think the second part of this is that there was also another project, that is Ostam, what do they call, Old Ostam Abattoir, which I assume is one of the FSPU or FPS, FPSU. This project also, the Department of Agriculture advised this department to say, this is not going to work, and here are the issues that we are concerned about. However, this department went ahead, Chair, to finance and to buy out that particular abattoir. That abattoir is standing empty. It's been used probably once and has never since. And these projects are supposed to create jobs. They're supposed to, you know, increase economic activities in the area and so forth and so on. But money is being spent on projects that are not really viable and not creating jobs. And this is my concern. Finally, really, I would like the department really to give us a breakdown of the amount of money that were spent and the analysis and the business plans that were put together really when they consider this project. Because if I look at, for example, this Saron project, if I look at it and do just my own numbers quickly, this project is not worth 60 million at all. It's probably at, you know, the most you will go on this project is about 5 million. So I would like to know, how do they come to these numbers of supporting this project? And what are the real expectations when they do this project in terms of job creation and so forth and so forth? Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Kapo.
Thank you, Chair. Briefly, after thanking the presentation, first, I would like to just vaguely want to understand that you said these will be based on districts. Maybe this should have been the last question, but I would like to begin with it. That then, now that there is a talk of district-based development, and you also said your these things are based on one in districts. How are you going to approach this one? You haven't mentioned it in your future plans. And secondly, also, the district municipalities, because you also said these are based on districts, but I haven't understood exactly how all the other local municipalities that in districts get involved and benefit. Whether maybe it's only related to the ones who are nearer that site or there's a way of having other local municipalities benefiting. Here you are having an example of supposing you have this in Kamata, and in that same area of Eastern Cape you have Bizana, 5 hours drive from there to that place. And how does it link to those people? How do they believe that it is part of their development? Does it make any sense to them? Can you go to them and say, in this province, we are working hard, we are doing this FSPU, they are going to assist you, and you have them believe you? We'll leave that one. There is now another part of the relation between the service providers and the beneficiaries, who are your clients on both sides. I want to be convinced here that in all these activities, there is nowhere that there is demonstration that most of the budget has been spent, because you have secured all the services from the service providers. Sometimes where you even secure a harvester in November or October, before you even plant, you have already secured a harvester. Because in this part, openly speaking, I'm afraid where you are rushed to satisfy the needs of those who are going to benefit now, more than those who are actually the target for this benefit. And therefore, I'll need some assistance that it should be demonstrated that this is understood and acceptable to the beneficiaries. Another question is also for me is interesting. It would be assisting if to know who initiated this good dream, based on what? Because someone must get this credit that came with this very good idea based on this and this and this experience, and this is going to be one that is helping this country out of all these problems we're getting to. But it does say to me that someone came with this idea based on this, because of these experiences and so on. Another question. Profiling. This seems to be a very long and effective process. But now, how long does profiling of these communities take? And that question is linked to me with, what about all the information that exists with State SA when we are profiling for the next maybe 10 years, whereas the State SA, which is having ready information, but and now how long and how much did it cost, or is it costing? Because you see, it does appear that that's a serious service, this profiling of these communities. In this process also, there was that one of, I have seen where you talked of gadgets and buses which were procured. That also, it would be interesting to also highlight to us that this procuring of these gadgets and these buses. I ask these things because sometimes these are things which in many cases do not have a meaning to the rural people, to the people who are supposed to be beneficiaries. They don't know about them, it has no meaning to them, and that is not what we want to happen. In Eastern Cape, who was responsible for this rotting equipment? And then what happened? Or if then there's nobody responsible, what situation led to the rotting of this equipment? Because if maybe there was a law or a legislation that said ignore or do away with anything that was part of Transkei or Ciskei, then I would understand. But now what was happening here? And all this was happening in the front of everyone. Maybe the Department of Agriculture in this case can respond, or maybe the provincial departments will be knowing. But now, to me, it's interesting. But why was this continuing over decades? Equipment being watched while decaying. Now, how is the work envisaged now with agriculture? Because I would also be interested to know how was the working between the Department of Rural Development and the Department of Agriculture, DAF, before the talk of configuration. Because that also will tell us something, or a lot to be corrected, or a lot to be strengthened. So that if there are things that have to be corrected, or there are things that have to be strengthened, it should be talked about. Because here, we are not working as if nothing has been happening in the past 10 years or 20 years. But all that has to have a meaning to all the process that we are going through. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mahlatsi.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I've got a few questions. One, looking at the presentation, it's clear that the department is 4 years in progress in as far as the concept is concerned. The concept was in 2015. We are 4 years in progress, left with 6 years to go. What are the success stories thus far in line with the plan in ensuring that in the next 10 years we'll be handing over these programs, these agri-parks, to their rightful owners? Two, given the progress of 4 years, what have been the hiccups and challenges? Three, how much was spent per project and on what thus far? Four, what is the profiling tool that the department is utilizing to profile these particular communities as indicated? My last question is, in line with my first question, are there any success stories in line with the program 9-point plan on agri-parks program as well as the strategic objectives of this particular program? Lastly, Chair, as an input, I've seen Makgolokweng program, the one in Thabo Mfutsanyana in the Free State. I must indicate, Chair, that one has seen this particular agri-park or this particular program. It looks nice on paper, and it looks good also in reality. However, I want to check, because it's been some time since I've been to that particular area. I want to check what is the progress now in relation to specifically Makgolokweng in Thabo Mfutsanyana in the Free State. I think, yes, indeed, we go to different oversights and we see stories that may not necessarily reflect what we are told, but in relation to specifically Makgolokweng, not only rural development as a department, but holistically, there is so much progress in that particular area from different government departments. However, I want to check how far are we in relation to ensuring that when the 10 years come, we are able to give over the project to our people of Makgolokweng. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Maso.
Thank you. Honorable Chair, I'm sorry I might not be able to deal with all because I was a little bit absent because of other work commitment related to this parliament. But my take here will be to start with, I don't know,
Chairperson, you will help me. Barlinyazo. Yeah. People must assist me. You know, when a person is undermining you, I don't know, English is not our language, but I'm very good in my language. Now, you see, when somebody analinyazo muhuena, asa levelele the responsibility and the commitment that you have to the country, then you become worried. Chairperson, I'm very worried when I'm sitting here looking at this presentation. Specifically, if I have to go to, let me start by saying, I'm putting this document here. I'm asking one of the department people to come and give me Limpopo where it is, because I've been struggling to look this thing. Doesn't have the numbers. It doesn't have the numbers, Chairperson. Now I have to talk looking at Limpopo. Mara, you must wait for me, Chairperson, to look for it, because I don't know where it is. You see, when I say linyazo, I'm talking about a person who does not put a table of content on a paper. Because the table of content on a paper, it will tell me where the page is and what is happening. There is no table of content on this paper. You just open the paper. Killing us, we are a high structure here as national. This is not a province. This is where we take the last decisions that must go to the country as a whole. We are sitting here now. The cameras are looking at us, Chairperson. What are we saying to the world? Are we saying we want to see this government going to the drain because of having people who are so educated who does not want to do the work? Chairperson, I'm having a problem. Let's go to Limpopo. Some of the pictures there, they are cut. You're saying, I don't know what page. What will I say? But there is a page that is cut off. There, I don't know whether it's 51 randa or it's 51 million or it's 6 whatever. Those numbers are cut off. So are you saying I should take these documents and put it in the archive of Parliament and say people that must come after me will look into this paper as a paper that Nna Patricia has participated in? Chairperson, no. Honorable Mahlo does not participate in this type of a thing. We will get angry, Chairperson, and it is not emotions. It's because people are not doing their work. By Kakula, you know what they are saying? They said they will come. Tomorrow they are going. Tomorrow there will be others. We don't care. They can scream and cry and whatever and kick the tables, but they are going after 5 years. That is what the officials are saying. Because if you look at this thing, our ministry, and we are not going to allow as Parliament this woman who works so hard as a minister, who at the end of the day will be downgraded by this type of work. I'm saying this department must tell us, Limpopo, there is an agri park in Seshego. It's not here. I don't see it in the documents. I only see Sukukune and whatever. But what is happening with that one at Seshego? Because it's there, it's part of the agri parks. And now, tell the department chairperson to tell me, what is this money in Limpopo, in that Komlomea Limpopo, what is that? Is that 51 cent? Or they're doing that so that they can hide it, so they should not know how much they use? Thank you.
Honorable Kulu.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must firstly apologize for having joined the committee at the tail end. But I would be very general in my questions, Chairman. Questions and comments. It looks as though, Chairperson, the biggest challenge that the department has is that of spending without sort of following up on every support that they give to the communities. Just looking at the side of the mechanization, the biggest challenge there the tractors are bought and provided to the communities, but there's no contractual there's no contract that the department enters into with the service provider so that when there are breakdown on the tractors, they get serviced. Instead, they end up standing on the blocks without assisting in plowing the land. That's what I've been exposed to in several areas where I've seen some of those, not the ones that are currently being reported about on the documents that some have been bought and but the ones that were provided by the department some years back, most of them are staying on the blocks, not properly to assist the community. Secondly, Chairperson, there is a project, I could call it, in Umsingatop, a very successful one when I once visited there. Currently, it has been funded even by a private business person. I want to just establish whether maybe the department does have its fingers in it, because I understand previously it was department was part of assisting there in fencing the area, and it does not appear on your presentation. Chairperson, where one feels actually we should be seeing things of that nature, and again, it to me it seems the department is not sort of trying to expand these projects. Once they install a project in a place, then they keep on reporting on the very same project without sort of expanding the project to other wards in the areas, which sort of disadvantages some of the people out there. Lastly, if I may say, Chairperson, another challenge which I've seen is that the department has sort of approached a certain people to say, please just get a group of people, the department is prepared to assist on 1, 2, 3. And we find that all the investment that is invested in those projects, they end up failing simply because the people did not have much interest, firstly. Secondly, they were not educated on what is expected of them as the assisted farmers, so to say. This is what Chairperson, I wanted just to raise in the committee. I thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, Chair, let me commend the brains behind this concept of agriparks. Indeed, it is a good initiative of our government. Chairperson, Mr. Kledeman, right? Presented a program, AgriParks program, in a 9-point plan. Point 2 of that plan is to revitalize agriculture and the agro-processing value chain. I will park there, Chair, because some of honorables have already alluded on some of the questions. I will park on this one. Chair, one weekend, I was driving towards Stellenbosch, trying to see or explore Western Cape, as in this committee is part of our mandate to be open-minded about certain issues, the land issues, and. I came across, Chair, I drove for about 10 kilometers, if not more. On my left, there was a farm on my right there was an abattoir and for about 10 kilometers or more of poultry who can refer. That's the firm for chicken. What I saw there, Chair, that is a value chain. You farm here, you do this, you process there, you do everything as you package, and then it's ready to go to the market. Now, Chair, I was hoping, Chair, to get a sense of that out of this presentation. That one of the projects has reached that level. Ukandafra is not our government owned. It's a private firm. If we're putting so much millions in projects, I'm hoping, Chair, to get just one in any province. That this is the project that the government has funded in the past 4 years. And we are at this stage. Chairperson, e-agri-parks, it said it must be supported by government for 10 years. What are indeed the milestones towards that 10 years? What are the performance indicators, the targets? Chair, maybe DG, you will still yet to share with us the plans, the achievements, the budget, and also the expenditure. How far are we in terms of finalization of these things, of the agri-parks? Chair, I would like to also know, in fact, not even know now, can the department assist us by forwarding through our secretary, Chair, what is the selection criteria of these agro-parks across the districts? Because, Chair, I'm a bit confused whether somewhere in this document it talks about a work-based level. There is a number of 10 agro-parks that has to be established per district, or two, or is it a province? And now I'm thinking, how far are we? If it's 10, I'm just assuming, if it's 10 per district or per province, I'm noticing that in each and every province there's two, or if not two, three. How far are we in terms of the other remaining establishment of these agri-parks? Lastly, Chair, in the Eastern Cape, I will make one example, Chair, about the Case Gama project. Case Gama project is situated in one region, that is Amatole region. In Amatole region, there are about 112 wards. If agro-parks, now out of 110 wards, when immediately you would think of the demarcation, does it serve the purpose of the entire region, just that agri-park? Is it benefiting the farmers of that region? Each ward, I believe there is a farmer there. Be it is piggery, be it is poultry, be it is... Is beef. Is it servicing the purpose? I'm just making that one example, Chair. Lastly, Chair, on the issue of rural urban marketing centers. Who's monitoring this center? Is it a center at a national level, at a provincial level, at a district level? Last Chair. the household profiling, we are told that it has been stopped in 2016. It's 3 years down the line. What is happening, Okanye? What happened to those that were identified to benefit on this AgriPark plan? Did the government continue with those plans or abandoned them? Or for 3 years, this project is just parked, Jinje? Any other farmer that has been merged or community is not benefiting in 2019. Can the department share with us those 3 points? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Montwedi.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to, on this AgriPark's presentation on Farmer Production Support Unit, if you just go to the first page, in fact the second page, I just want to show consistency that there's Odendal's Res, there's Sidiba, there's Mokolokwena, yeah. There are three FPSU there, and all of them, it means they are support. So consistently, if there are three or two mentioned per province, you'll find information pertaining to that. It's only in the northwest, in Taung, where it is reflected there, and there's nothing in terms of content that speaks to Taung. I think clearly it shows that there is funding allocated for that project in Taung, because consistently, if it appears there, it says there's something allocated there, DG. So just look into it and make sure that that issue is actually addressed to DG. I'm saying this because as when we dealt with the legacy report of the department, we spoke of revitalizing of the agricultural scheme in Taung. It reflects there. And I can tell you that even in the committee meeting, I raised that there was an acknowledgement from the department that those are plans in place to revitalize the agricultural scheme. They have not yet happened, which were in the previous parliament. So for the past 5 years, starting with the previous parliament, there was no any development taken into that area. I'm speaking about it because I'm from that area. There's about 3,000 hectares of land under irrigation in the area, and farmers are not deriving any benefit from using their agricultural land. There are some farmers who, after a period of 6 months, go home on a negative balance of even more than 50,000. Now, the poor person just go on and plant with the hope that one day, and that one day will never come, because whatever negative balance in the previous season goes into the previous season already, you are in the negative. So you will never get to make profit. So please, if the plans that you are presenting, they can be implemented there, they will actually help farmers a lot. A lot. So please look into that issue. Another thing that I just want to speak on too is that the minister made a commitment that they're actually going to review the concept of NARISEC. I'm not sure. From what you presented is that the NARISEC will focus more on maintenance of these implements. Have you re-looked the concept on NARISEC? And will, from now on, can you expand NARISEC so that it must focus on what you are doing as a department? It must leave this thing of saloons, cutting of hairs, this and that. If it can assist you on delivering on your core mandate as a department, I think you will cut a lot of money that you spend on people to come and do your water reticulation, to come and do water reticulation, your cattle handling facilities if you take the same cohort on Nariseke and put them in there. Now, I want to speak on the, to ask this question, how involved are beneficiaries and or farmers to as far as development of the business plans? Because you find in projects that we have visited, farmers are there, implements and or machinery is there, there are pack houses, there's this and that, and they are just not using them. So were this business plan done by consultants, they were then imposed to them, or did they contribute to say, this is how we want to streamline our production in this area? So I just want to check that one to say, how involved were farmers to as far around that? Now, another thing, DG, that I would want to also speak on is to pick on your two objectives of the project. The other one speaks on job creation. I want to know, since the establishment of the project, how many jobs have been created through this project. Number two of your, the second objective that I picked up on is on the optimal use of agricultural land that is underutilized. And you also speak there of expanding the agricultural irrigation scheme. How have you made sure that there's that optimal use of agricultural land, and also the expansion that you speak of there? Is it only in paper or is it in reality? Where did you expand irrigation scheme? I can tell you that in Taung, there was a plan of expanding the Taung irrigation scheme. There was a study commissioned about 15 years or 10 years back. Up until now, it has not yet been expanded. We are still waiting for that expansion. There's arable land available. The extension has not yet happened. So on your presentation, you're making mention of expanding the irrigation scheme. Where have you expanded it? Or you went to already existing farms where you actually got to then take them into adding your number of hectareage that you have actually presented there on your project. The other one is that you spoke of 27 identified projects, FPSU, the 27 identified. Now, can any expenditure of government, it can either be a liability or add the asset structure of your department. You have not only spent money on the 27 projects, you have spent on more than 27. Can you get an indication in terms of saying, can you consolidate expenditure on all the projects to date? I'm speaking about in Kagiso Molopo, in Dr. Ruth, in Naledi, where the status of your district park there is such that $2 million was spent quickly on the palisade fencing without having done the EIA, and only to find out that come the EIA results, you are not approved there. It means there's wasteful expenditure of $2 million lying there. And how do you then start to move and spend government money, knowing quite well that your continuation of on that particular project is dependent on the EIA approval, and yet you implement before you get the set approval? And in that instance, DG, what consequence management measures are you putting in place? Do you just say, no, it's just an expenditure, yes, let's leave it? Or you then say, how do you spend before a study is conducted? And that money, how is it classified? So if you can get a consolidated expenditure on all the projects and the status, don't only subject yourself to the 27 that are prioritized. Everywhere where money was spent, and to say, what is the status? For example, in Taung, that project started in Taung. The one that is here, actually, it is not here by mistake. You started it, and then you abandoned it. It is now just a mess. People have started to go help themselves with whatever that were there. Now, if you can get that report, the other issue is that from the legacy report, there was no national mechanization plan. That your department was actually about to acknowledge that there's no national mechanization plan. You are continuing to spend money on mechanization, and yet your policy on mechanization is not in place. How are you going to deal with all those issues that were identified before as a challenge to your department as soon as mechanization is brought to projects? How far are you with that process of doing the mechanization plan? Now, another thing, DG, is that there's about 2 billion. Since 2015-16, there was an arrangement that every financial year, 2 billion must go to the parks. I'm not sure if it's in the district or what. And there was an instance where the same 2 billion was shifted from the recapitalization program to go and fund this project on agri-parks. You have created an expectation that farmers on restitution and or recapitalization are going to get assistance. And you take that money, you then move it to go and fund the program on agri-parks. You are sitting today on the verge of a litigation as a result of you having made commitments to farmers in March and have not yet delivered now on restitution and recap. Now, you steal money from here, recap, you take to agri-parks so that, no, at least the noise must go down. It is not fair because farmers, an expectation was raised. Now, how do you move around that? Why you always shift funds? Why can't you have a dedicated fund that deals with the program on agri-parks? Chair, I'm concluding, Chair. Now, the other issue that I want to ask, Chair, is on your approach on your agri-parks. At the level of the district, in terms of intergovernmental relations, what systems or strategies did you put in place to ensure proper coordination? Because I can tell you, DG, there's no proper coordination at district level. You have got your District Agri-Park Management Council, where members to this council were even appointed by the minister. I can tell you, in Dr. Ruth, my own friend Thabo Apollos, who's not a farmer, happens to chair that committee that has collapsed. Farmers are not properly represented in those structures. And they are said to be structures that are on agriculture discipline, and yet farmers are not involved. You handpick people to be part of those structures. I don't want to go deeper into politics there and there, but it is the same as creating farmers. You can't create farmers. Farmers are there. If a person is a farmer, that's it. But you go creating. You are creating a very, so if you can just pick on that one of the IGR, what strategies did you put in place to ensure proper coordination from now going forward? Because as it is, there is no proper coordination. Now, the last point, Chair, is my last point is on the one project that we visited. Maybe before then. Your expenditure, I think it was raised also, your expenditure on consultants, I am made to believe that almost around 80% of the budget is mostly spent on consultants. Can you then, as Honorable Masipa said, just get a breakdown in terms of your expenditure, your key line expenditure items, so that you see where is the bulk of the money then moving to? I'm saying this because if there were proper IGR systems, where there's involvement at the level of municipalities. Municipalities do have engineers. departments do have economists. There are crop and livestock specialists. And you do not use internal capacity. You go and get a consultant who must come and advise you on some of these things. When we are speaking at an IGR level, you have got engineers who can assist, you have got architects, you've got all this capacity in the state that is not utilized. And you then tend to go and use the capacity outside. My last point, Chair, is on the project that we visited on the Ndumo in the KZN. Now, there are, on your presentation, on the very same document here, you indicate what is the speciality in the in that area. You then say, maybe it's dry beans or they are specializing in vegetable, as per your presentation. But when you look at some of the implements that you have declared in your document, have got nothing to do with vegetables. You've got your baling machine there. They've got nothing to do with the vegetables. You've got there a planter, a fine seed planter, which has got, it's not even a vegetable, there are vegetable planters. You've got a four-row maize planter there that you bought with the money and you said it's a vegetable project. You've got balers that are sitting there. You've got harvesters that are sitting there that are not used. How do you deal with that? And maybe I can just add to that and say, if the project you are saying, this is a vegetable project, why do you spend on any items that are not vegetable related? Why do you deviate? And who approves that deviation and actually who initiates the deviation? And how do you move some of these implements from these projects that where they are no longer used to go and take them to other projects that are used? And I think that will be responded to by the National Mechanization Plan, because it should actually be able to cover on how to deal with some of these implements that you find them not actually needed on certain projects. I think that is the chair. My closing remark, we want our money in Daundiji. We want it.
Thanks, Honorable Mumpedi. I'm not going back to you, Honorable Chet. I gave all members all their time to talk to them. What is it?
Sorry, Chair, it's not a follow-up question. It's a... Honorable Mutwedi mentioned a word, said actually there's a stealing of money from this vote to another. It's called a vehement. It's not stealing. That word stealing is a bit harsh. I'm just correcting that.
I heard shifting. Okay. No dialogue. I'm still in charge. DG and the team, for sure you have heard the sentiment that is echoed by members here. One, from myself, I think initially when agri-parks were surfacing and were being brought to our attention, it was a good thing, and it still is, if they can be implemented as intended. I remember, DG, the intention was to have an agri-park where there's nothing as part of rural development so that we attract development to areas. And I'm saying this because Honorable Steyn spoke about the far from everything, there's nothing logistics-wise and everything. It was supposed to be a hype where you'll have even agro-logistics people buying trucks, others going into trucking and everything. Farmer support units were said to be going to be about 50 kilometers from the actual hub so that adjacent communities benefit. Now, if a storage is being built somewhere, there's nothing, there's no development, it defeats the logic. Because in their sense, they were brought
through rural development where agriculture is rife, where people know nothing except agriculture. They can't have firms, they can't attract factories. Now, AgriPax was their sole hope in that time. I'm worried, DG, that now it's like the farmer support unit is replacing AgriPax, yet it's a unit within the AgriPax. We speak more about farmer support unit than the actual AgriPax. And with the understanding that we have, you can have three farmer support units, for an example, linked to one AgriPax. Because going forward, you will come here and say there are four farmer support units in Northwest, and you speak to one AgriPax having four support FPSUs. And this is what the chair was saying last time, that at times when things don't go well, we drop the term, we come with a newer one. Now, it's like we're promoting farmer support. The actual AgriPax, are you really too much? We're talking, we're presenting farmer support units that are not even there. So let it not be that it should replace the actual AgriPax, because within the AgriPax, it's one of the three tiers that others are not even functional. Your marketing arm, your AgriHub. There's no way where we're speaking about AgriHub. And we will not talk about AgriHub because it's not operational. These things are not operational. There's no AgriHub. There's no this other one, REMUC, that is supposed to be there, the marketing arm of it. If we can just ask, is there any functional AgriPax anywhere? There's none. Any farmer support unit? None. 4 years down the line. If a person can just come maybe from Africa and say, we are here to benchmark, you have had this idea for 4 years now. Ours is just the 3D models, beautiful pictorial pictures that says nothing to us. And hence members are saying, how much have you spent here? And my take, DG, is that we cannot even say how much we have spent, because everything is planned, it's planned, like Honorable Mbambama saying, everything is in the future tense. What happened previously? The commitment. And I agree with members that are saying probably there was never budget for AgriPax. We had to shift monies from everywhere. And the reason is that we never had policy, for sure. Do we have policy for AgriPax that we can present to the committee and say, this is what we have to do? If we don't have performance indicators, we are unable even to play oversight more, because we don't know at 4 years down the line at what stage should we be. Yet this is a beautiful concept that rose hope within our people. Let me tell you something. At some stage, Ntate Bapela, who is the deputy minister, Kokopte, is deployed in the Northwest through other deployments, doing political work there. He saw this picture of Samoretele, and incidentally was deployed to Komoretele. He wanted to jump and say this, and I said, there's nothing, Komoretele, that looks. No, I saw this from the Tengkwintiger. There's nothing on the ground. The Tengkwintiger, there's nothing. And we come here, sitting here today, we have profiled Moretele. I just wonder how much budget went into that profiling a Moretele community. Because social development, if you could have gone to them, they will give you the profile of Moretele. If you go to Statistician General Community Survey, they will give you profile of Moretele. And we come, we duplicate what other government departments are doing. And now it has been stopped. Those beautiful gadgets that couldn't be seen on the picture, SG Statistician General has got them. And I can tell you that now that information is outdated. Next time, because we stopped it in 2016, don't go and do it. Don't go and repeat. Go to community surveys. You'll get that. Or your social development. And this brings me to my point, where are other departments participating into this? Or are we just waiting ourselves? Because when we started in 2015, there was a whole list of departments that were going to participate, your COPTA, social development, and everybody else. Now, if we can just focus, now you no longer being Dr. DLR alone, you are combined moving forward with the review, with the initiation that the minister is going to take, then let's not duplicate what is not ours. Let's use what we have, the budget, to do what we are supposed to do. If we could have put up an SSP, go Moretele instead of doing a profiling, we could be presenting it. Now we did profiling, Rose, Hope, Yabatu, there's nothing at the moment, Kote. It's not fair for our communities. I would want to see when we present the budget, we go in go debate now to the goods and services budget, how does it stand? Because everything that is bought here, equipment and mechanization, I just want to see how does it look like a budget adjustment. Because everything that is bought everywhere on these pictures, equipment, and I suspect it from goods and services. And if it's not being bought, because now they are bought, it's one sort of thing. I can tell you here and now, you're going to not spend and you'll want to shift funds from that, because Iberekis, you are so, Kiona Agri-Park, the goods and services, that is not fair. Because we don't have brick and mortar, according to the present anyway, kiddie park houses. Just quick wins. Because we don't want to do things just the correct way. Focus on one thing and say, here we got it right. Here is the model that we can all follow. Now, we're taking everywhere, spreading every cent, every... Why don't we just focus on two districts in this country, not even in one province, and just do the correct thing once and for all? And I'm happy because the minister says we're not going to abandon this, the agri-parks. Because my fear was that we're going to abandon them because they are not working anyway. 4 years down the line, millions has been spent. There's none that we can point except the halfway built somewhere and somewhere, everything in future tense. We need to get our acts right on. Focus just on one or two or four, at least like we said. When it started, every province was going to have one, maybe NC or four. Then all of a sudden we're on a massive rollout. Nothing is happening at the moment. So it cannot be correct. Now, as and when we move forward with the assistance of your measure now as two departments, I think we would look into issues that members has raised and make sure that the other components, AgriHub and Rural Urban Market Center, brought back into the picture and say to us, how are these organized? We also want this policy. Even if you have a draft, maybe basis in Yana Felahor, is there a policy? Because apparently you're on a navigation within the departments. If you don't have it, no, nothing, you can work. So that you also have, like I said, performance indicators, targets, performance reports, so that as a department we are able to play oversight. Absence of financial report also limits SARA oversight. Members are saying to us, give us their financial report. Where did you start? How much was planned? What has been spent on? What we're presenting here today is that these are stakeholders. This is what is being pledged to be done. DART said they are bringing so much. This one are bringing so much. It's not fair for the committee. We know and we have heard that they are going to be reduced from 44 to 10. Is it the case, except what you said the minister has said? Now, if that is the case of the reduction to 10, probably we would need also a detailed report for which sites are being abandoned and which sites are going to form part of this 10, for what reasons. I spoke to the overall budget expenditures that members has indicated. The presenter wanted to link AgriPark and CRDP, and it has been our case on the previous debates, right through to say, It's like AgriParks has replaced CRDP. Is this the case? What is the link? Because AgriParks now, the farmers has to own 70%. They need to be controlled by farmers. Are we able to control a CRDP? What is the link on this one? One of the key issues or the guiding principles for AgriParks must be catalyst around which rural industrialization will take place. Is there any evidence of rural industrialization? Or is it because nothing has come off the ground up to now? Where we are, we cannot say tangibly these are critical milestones. Yeah, or 10 years down the line, we are on year 4. We could be able to say government can pull off and leave farmers to be able to sustain themselves using AgriParks. Please link the role of other departments into the whole thing. Or now we are flying solo, we have left that idea when it started 2015, or other departments will be able to come in. I wouldn't even talk to issue study linkages to markets, because we saw Horlidi cabbage, we couldn't, simple cabbages, we couldn't go to local pick and paste to CHOPC, to anybody to say, can we have off-take agreements with you? Or where are we getting markets? Anyway, how do we talk to markets if we don't have anything? Mara, in the main, and that day, Shabane, I would request that moving forward, because now you are joined, let's have thorough plans. Or what is it that we want to do at the AgriParks? I spoke to some members for my experience initially. Or you had this idea and you never budgeted for it. Departments on at provincial levels, because they loved the idea, they made budget available. Especially departments that didn't lead off. Others didn't even have rural development within themselves. And it was a mountain of a task to have budget from Dr. DLR then. So all these pictures, your people in provinces by Dr. DLR will go and take pictures and say to you, this is what we're doing. It was interesting to see, that's why that the Montwedi wants Taung FPSU, to see auctions in Taung, auctions in Moses Kotane, and there's no FPSU there. There's nothing. Because when agriculture built those auction prints and say, because we are working together, come back to the party and work with, they take that information and present it as if Kepatia AgriParks. Well, there's nothing. That's why we cannot find them now on the real thing, but on the concept paper is there. Thanks. We'll then give over to you and your staff to respond to these questions and the issues that has been raised by honorable members.
Thank you very much, honorable members. And let me also thank the honorable members for the robustness in terms of engaging with the presentation. And I think from what the members are saying, the concept as it is, not all is lost. Properly implemented, properly monitored, properly planned, it can over time make a meaningful impact. Personally, if I had my way, Chairperson, I wouldn't ask my colleagues to respond to the individual questions for one simple reason, that I think as a department, especially those of us who are seated there, we probably spend 80% of our time sitting in meetings, not being on the ground in your constituencies, and perhaps having view of what you see when you go to the ground. And I would take what you are saying as a critical evaluation that has been conducted by the committee that requires us to go back to the drawing board, especially because there's quite a number of obvious weaknesses in the manner in which the concept was rolled out. First of all, we were going to start at the beginning of the agri-parks with one agri-park per province. That was the initial start. And then, obviously, we implement policy decisions. We don't make policy. Then before we knew it, we had to go big bang, agri-park for every district. The implication of that is that even if you're going to start by piloting, I think we're going to pilot one per province and allow ourselves a time to learn to see how we roll out the three different components of it. But we got into a position where we did not even get time to properly learn from the pilots, because we then went full scale into all four district municipalities. What that also does is that even if you had 2 billion which had been set aside for this purpose, you had to spread it thin on the ground so that you try and provide for a little bit for that district, a little bit for that district, and that does compromise impact of what you want to achieve. Hence, you will see in some areas half-built structures and so on. And I think that's the first weakness. We were asked, what lessons have we learned? This is one of the big weaknesses of the big bang approach, moving away from systematically implementing this brilliant concept, learn at least for a 12-month period, and gradually move from one phase to the next, from one phase to the next, in a systematic fashion. And I think that is where things got wrong. I think at least as DG, I can state that. And I think the second biggest weakness was that the concept at a high level was very good. But I do think that some of the teams, because internally in the department, we did not have all the planning expertise. We're going back to this RGI question. We did not have proper planning, all the planning expertise. We do have planners, we do have agricultural economists, is one of the planners, registered town planners. But agri-parks are not just about town planning. They are broader. They require a multidisciplinary set of skills. And I do think that perhaps we did not provide sufficient oversight over the implementation plans. Maybe there should have been much more rigor in making sure that before we implement, is the location, for instance, of this FPSU in relation to where the farmers are, in relation to where the site of the agri-park is going to be. Hence, you will hear that some of the FPSUs are located far away from where the farmers are or where the people are. And I think the minister herself yesterday in our meeting was saying she's visited two or three of them where she herself saw this problem, to say some of the structures we've created are way too far away from the communities they are supposed to serve. In other instances, she was personally saying, I've seen the infrastructure that is way far too sophisticated for the kind of people you are building it for. For instance, if you build hydroponics for farm workers who could have been given land and perhaps a storage facility for machinery and equipment and so on, she's done that critique herself. So that's why I'm saying, For me personally, what the members are saying, I'm not taking it with a heavy heart. I think it's a constructive criticism of what we have been doing. Obviously, the reports that the members require, we have to provide them. The breakdown, the budget breakdown per district. What was planned in what district? What was the plan? How much money was spent in each one of them? And what is the status? Certainly that one will have to we'll provide. But I just wanted to say, for us, it is a critical evaluation that is forcing us to acknowledge that as much as we had this brilliant idea, there were certain weaknesses that created some of these problems. Chairperson, the other related matter that I know the members are talking from 2015 to 2019, there was a period of a lull in the implementation of AgriParks, especially in 2018, as I understand. The decision about reducing 44 to 20 to 10 was a decision that was taken in 2018 by the previous minister, to say this big bang approach is not going to work. Go back to focusing on 10. But the current minister hasn't said reduce the 27. She's saying instead of trying to do everything everywhere with every AgriPark, at least focus on one key component part of the AgriPark, that is the FPSU. She's not saying abandon the rest. Let us give you a practical example. We if you look at many parts of our provinces in rural areas, you will find nice pack houses, air-conditioned pack housing, and this and the other. But what you'll find is that there isn't sufficient throughput for that infrastructure. Now, the idea of the FPSU is that there are people involved in primary production whom the FPSU is supposed to help lift up, provided we give them the right equipment, we don't buy a four-line harvester for beans and so on and so on. So that there is enough production that is happening so that it can be then pooled together. It can be stored in that particular facility. It could then be marketed. In many instances, government has gone and built buildings, infrastructure, cold storage facilities, but then the production hasn't happened. And then you've got white elephants standing of buildings. So we're trying to cure this problem. If you take, for instance, in red meat, you can identify about 5 different provinces around the country where black farmers, particularly in communal land, nationally own about 40% of livestock, both small and large, but they are very small in terms of their market penetration. There's very little that ends up in the abattoirs, that end up in the shelves where the meat can be bought. Part of what the FPSUs and the revitalization of agricultural schemes was so that you can plant feed, whether you plant alfalfa or you plant lucerne, you have all these other support mechanisms for the farmers, was so that you can then improve the livestock herd of rural people, so that gradually then you build it up. But again, even in that particular area, we have got a lot of lessons we have learned from how we've been implementing it, at least in 4 provinces. While farmers have made millions of rand, I think there's evidence we can produce to show how much money landed in the pockets of farmers. But the model was such that it was unsustainable, because as much as farmers made money, they continued coming back to government for animal feed. They continued to come back to government for maintenance of their own facilities, coming back to government for veterinary services. Yet they were taking home millions of rand. So there was something wrong with our own model. So we are saying we are now repurposing the model because we can see it can work properly, designed and implemented. And this is where the private sector, with some level of expertise, becomes important. But we're not talking about taking our money, the government money, and giving it to some private sector. We're looking at collaborating at the level where they've got skills, the technical know-how. They have been, like these cooperatives that were mentioned, they have been in this space for, some of them, for over 60 years. There's very little that insight of that capacity within government. So that is where we would want to collaborate to strengthen our planning, our design, our market linkages, with the big players. I think there's a big role for the National Agricultural Marketing Council. They are centrally involved, but maybe the ARC can play a much more bigger role, but certainly the NAMEC is particularly on the red meat program. They are involved in at least four provinces, Eastern Cape, KZN, I know in Mpumalanga, Northwest and Northern Cape. I do know that they have been involved. So, but we are really looking even at that arrangement. There's a cross-cutting question on why the district model. Why is the district the unit of delivery? Well, the district is the third sphere of government. As a matter of fact, we've been trying to pilot with this for quite some time. Now, as you may well be aware, the president is now driving a model that says the district is going to be the point of delivery across the country. He's already launched in Eastern Cape and Echeguini over last week Friday. We're going to Limpopo in Waterberg. But the idea is that all three spheres of government, precisely because of these IGR challenges where sometimes the one department does its own thing and that one does its own thing, the president is saying, one district, one plan, one budget. So that you don't have all the three spheres of government doing different things that are not even complementing each other, duplicating effort, wasting resources. If indeed that model were to be developed and it were to work, no district would not have enough money. Yes, the municipalities may have their own governance weaknesses. But if the three spheres come together, driven at the center of government, as the president is doing at the present moment, we will all as government department at all three different spheres be able to be focused in pulling those resources. Obviously, from the center of government to the provincial level and local level, there would have to be that accountability and consequence management, where resources are getting duplicated, money gets lost, and so on. I mean, he's already told us, as DG is to say, if you can't do this thing, there is a door, it is open. So you would have to find another job if you can't do this thing. So yes, there has been various attempts at this district delivery model. We were the first to start with it. Unfortunately, we did not perhaps succeed in mobilizing everybody else to work and plan together with us. We do have, at a minimum level, the minister, even the previous minister, Minister Ngwindi, and the current minister, she meets at minimum with MECs of provinces, with district mayors. At a technical level, DGs meet with provincial HODs, DDGs, municipal managers, precisely trying to get this model to work. Obviously, we have not succeeded in making sure that we all blend together, we prioritize the same things, we forge strong collaboration and partnership at an implementation level. We're hoping that this model that the president is now driving, of which we are all part of as government, we will be able to address that. The relationship between the Department of Rural Development and DAF before the merger has not been the strongest. One, because rural development as a national department and with the land issue as the focus, it has this national competence. And agriculture has been a concurrent function. What then happens is that DAF, with its own budget, the bulk of it, they give it to provinces through DORA. Provinces are responsible for implementation. Rural development, we have got provincial offices and district offices. We are responsible for spending our own budget. We don't give it to provincial government. And often, what our provincial offices do as former rural development and land reform and what DAF does is just we're talking past each other, we are working past each other. There hasn't collaboration,
been collaboration. We're hoping with this merger, there's going to be better collaboration, but also the district development model that is driven by the presidency is going to force us to work together and hopefully resolve the problems of dysfunctional municipalities in the Free State and elsewhere. I do think there are a few success stories which we could lift, but we take all the criticism, which we take it in a very positive way, because we do realize ourselves we do need to go back to the drawing board. We may not have been able to expand irrigation schemes as was our target in 2015, but we have been to a number of irrigation schemes, and I think Clinton, my colleague, will go into that. But because what we have found is that even those that were there, we found that infrastructure had reached the end of its life. So you don't expand something that is collapsing. You have to revive, rebuild it, rebuild what is there before you expand. And a lot of money that has gone into infrastructure in irrigation scheme has been about reviving that which was there, and in some instances, building new ones where they never existed before. But again, that report we can produce, which irrigation infrastructure across the country, where, and how much has it cost? What is the status? We can certainly provide that report. NARICEC, we take the point. Absolutely, that is the marching orders from the minister, that we can't be training traffic cops and helping people to do all these other things. She has given us very clear direction to say, even with the small stockholder farmers in rural areas, given that there's a shortage of extension support services, there's a shortage of veterinary services, she's saying, we have got agricultural colleges, we've got unemployed graduates, we've got NARICEC. Let's refocus and redirect the NARICEC budget and the use of agricultural graduates into skilling them in the areas where we are involved. In other words, we can have the people trained technically to assist with the infrastructure, fixing the tractors, the machinery. Others could be paravets helping our stock owners with inoculation, looking after their livestock. That could also create job opportunities. That is the direction that she has given us to refocus NARICEC and our focus on unemployed youth graduates to then create the jobs that we had promised when we started with the program. Obviously, we have not succeeded much in revitalizing all the land that has not been working in the former homelands. There's a lot of work, and I'm saying in the report we can present, where have we revitalized irrigation schemes and how many jobs have come out of that. We will provide that report. They exist. There has been reprioritization of budget, and I think I've spoken to that. As a result of the expansion of the number of agri-parks, there had to be budget reprioritization. But what we do want to say is that the minister, now that there are these two departments that are merging into one, you remember rural development had RECAP, agriculture had CASP, they had MAFISA, they had ILIMA, LITSIMA, and so on. The minister is saying put them under one fund and reprioritize, refocus. He said to us, originally CASP was supposed to go for on-farm and off-farm infrastructure, but today CASP can be spent to buy seeds, to buy fertilizer, to buy all other things except inputs. So the minister said, refocus, go back to the basic of what these policies were meant to do. So land development support, CASP, MAFISA are all going to come under one fund. But obviously we'll also have the blended finance where we work with the land bank and other people in the cases where we've got commercial farmers that can't sit and wait for government grants, but they have got to put a skin in the game for their own farming operations. So we are acknowledging those challenges.
there isn't a link. The agri-parks are not synonymous with the CRDP. The CRDP was looking at a whole range of things, from building infrastructure, ECD centers, clinics, and a whole host of other things. But when agri-parks are looking at various opportunities that present themselves within the agricultural value chain, that is why you would have people involved in logistics, suppliers of fertilizer, nurseries, providing seeds, others processing, exporting, and so on and so on. So agri-parks and CRDP are not synonymous. There could be elements of the models that could be linked, but they are not synonymous. I think the one on accountability is the last point that perhaps I can address. It's an important point because it's another area of weakness. In the past, the department could have complained that we do not have capacity at a district level. We've got chief directors in provinces. These chief directors in provinces, below them have got directors. In some provinces, we've got district directors. So there's no basis we can then say we don't have capacity to monitor. The question was, who is responsible for monitoring? It is those directors that we must hold accountable. As we get these reports that we've been getting, together with the acting COO, we are asking for these reports from the provinces because they need to account. They are chief directors. A province has got a minimum of 5 directors. So you can't say you don't have capacity. So we can't be looking elsewhere. We need to hold people to account. There must be consequence management at that level of provinces. That is generally the response, but we'll provide the reports as requested by the honorable members, unless the chairperson and the members insist on specific responses to each and every one of the questions. Then my colleagues, Mr. Heinemann, Clinton, and Dr. Swartz can respond to those.
Thanks, honorable members. I'm noting your hands. It's 12 minutes to 1. 2 o'clock, we're going for a sitting. Let me hear from honorable members because the DG has spoken to this in general. Also, reminding members of our decision last week that if there's information that the department has to go back and find, we'll give them about 2 weeks to respond to us in writing. I saw 3 hands in the front, Honorable Stein, Honorable Mbambama, then Honorable Kapal, Honorable Chate will be the last.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think from my side it would be best if the department respond in writing, especially the business plans for each project, a total budget from the beginning per project, including those that's not in here, because they're there, you know, and what is happening to them, while we are now just focusing on who is the responsible person and name per district. Because we don't just want to know, you know, it's the district manager, the name of the person. Chairperson, and I think also what is important is whether any people have been held responsible up till now, this discussion of consequent management. Because there are some projects out there that's been vandalized already. It's not there. What happened to those ones? So I would propose, Chair, that we rather stick to getting proper presentations in writing with the questions that we asked.
Thank you, Chair. I would like an answer from the DG, and thank you for what you've said so far, but I'd like an answer on the return on investment. I don't think you touched on that. As I made an example of Makholo Weng, that they're spending 30.7 million there, but how do you measure return on investment in things like that? And we said, do you have a financing, do you have financing and investment models for these, you know, or a template or whatever that people can use? And then secondly, I agree with Honorable Steyn. In terms of the district directors, we would like to have a single person responsible. And that also goes for the asset register, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just remember that when in 1961, when we changed from pounds and shillings to rands, what assisted us most was to forget about the pounds and shillings and work on rands, not keep on trying to say how many shillings would make a rand by today. Now, DG said something very important to me. You mentioned something of going back to the drawing board. This tells me that there is some understanding that there is a lot to be corrected. And also put in a sentence at the end that always reminds that, by the way, all what we have done, that is why there has to be configuration. And therefore, configuration must be made to be implementable and work, so that it can correct all what has been a mistake in our previous activities, and hoping that also in that such processes there will be no capture, that maybe some businesses or some service providers will take us to court because we are changing and we are doing things in the way we like, because in most cases they always look after their interests and they also want you to look after their interests. But now the case is here, you have a lot to be corrected, and this will assist this new department to go further and achieve the best. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I welcome, Chair, the response from UDG that those reports that we were seeking clarity on will be forwarded to the committee. I think for now, Chair, that is sufficient for the committee, so that we can go back and have more information on what was not clarified. Lastly, Chair, I would like to remind members that our mandate is to oversee the work of the department. As much as we need those reports, we need to be careful not to overstep our mandate in terms of wanting to know who is the official and doing what. We are not operational, we are overseeing. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Shada. Ntate Mdu, do we have responses for Honorable Mbama? Okay, Mbamba Mbamanu.
We can respond outside.
She's asking them for the committee if you have those or are this part of what you have to look for.
We can provide, because they are not generic. If you are talking about return on investment, not everything that we have been doing, we are doing it on a commercial basis. And a return on investment in public sector terms will be called value for money. So there won't be ROI as in profits and so on, because even if they were, they are not accruing to the state. They are accruing to the beneficiaries. In other words, has there been change in some people's lives through our interventions? In cases where we can, sure, because there was a question about successes, we can draw those successes. At least on a number of programs in irrigation schemes, in the national red meat value chain. So we can draw those, but we may not be able to say this is how we define it, because we don't use ROI as a measure.
Honorable members, with the understanding that the other responses will come in writing in 2 weeks, I adjourn this meeting. And thanks for your cooperation and participation. Also, thank you.
I'm looking at the time. I want to go and prepare for the next. What's the other? Oh, the minutes.
Huh? No, I didn't know. I didn't know.
They were hiding them that I mustn't see. Okay. We have in draft minutes, 15th October 2019. Have members those before them? Okay. It's you who reminded us. 15th October 2019, 9 o'clock, committee room M46. We are on page 1. Anything on page 2? Sorry. Page 4. Page 5. Honorable Kappa.
Chair, on 429, I wonder if that is not a funding, 429, where there is no specific finding for organic farming.
There's no specific finding or funding. Okay, yeah. Page 6. Page 7. There's one sentence, go page 7. Do I see a mover for adoption of this minutes? Honorable Kappa?
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of these minutes as a true correct record of our meeting.
Any seconders? Honorable Masipa?
Chair, I move to second the adoption of the minutes.
Thanks. Matters arising on this minutes.
Well, Chair, just waiting for the information as minutes. Just saying we are waiting for the date for the representation that comes back from the department as minister, Chair.
Okay. Is that the only matters arising? Okay. So do I take this as adopted by the committee today? Okay. The second set of minutes are for the Wednesday, 16th October. Held at 9 o'clock, G26 Ground Floor National Assembly Building. We are on page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Do I see a mover for adoption of this minutes that ends at page 3? Honorable Chete?
I move for the adoption of this minutes. Thanks.
Any seconder? Honorable Briat?
Madam Chair, I second the adoption of the minutes.
Are there any matters on page 1 that arise out of this minutes? On page 2? On page 3, members, I take these minutes as having been adopted as true reflection of what transpired on the 16th October 2019. Do we have any announcements? Is the China thing still on? There are no announcements. Individual members, those that are scheduled to go to China, I have seen you filling on the insurance forms.
I have seen on your emails, please check your emails for logistics. Your tickets has been circulated in terms of your times and everything. So that brings us to the end of today's meeting. Ke a leboga.